and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, babies, victims, self-righteous bullies, sensitive sorts, haters, because the liberal umbrella is big. It can accommodate all. And, of course, you true liberals, as I am myself, though have been criticized sometimes for not applying the right liberal principles to all things, but perhaps I'm being misunderstood. Perhaps, you know, the senses, you know, sometimes you can't trust your eyes, sometimes you can't trust your ears, because they are limited by your particular context, are they not? And if you can't appreciate irony or humor, then, you know, you are somehow mentally challenged sometimes. And I like the word glib. What do you got going there, Riley? It's nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
It's a big day. It's a big big Friday.
Yeah, it started out real bad for me, though.
I know, man. I know. You walk in, there's chaos already. You know, it's like, it always scares me, too. Go ahead. Lay it out.
Well, you know, I'm coming down here on my way to work, and I left early this morning.
Yeah.
Turn a corner, coming off the FDR Drive, hit a pothole, and suddenly hear the dreaded...
Oh, was it one of those like kiddie pool sized potholes that you get here in New York?
Yes, one of those.
One of those sinkholes. It's amazing. Sometimes you see a pothole and like, dude, how can they not notice that? Like literally, people who live in the city will put a garbage can into the pothole and it's halfway in. Like you only see half the can to warn people.
Yeah, and this one had no warning.
Oh.
And I hit it, and as soon as I hit it, I knew it was at the very least a new wheel alignment, which I haven't gotten yet. But when I started hearing the hissing, I said, oh, this is going to be a real fun day, this.
Dude, you're lucky. Those things can break your transaxles. I heard a guy hit a pothole. No one's heard from him. It's been 3 years. The entire car, no one knows what it was. It was a 75 Mustang.
He just vanished.
He disappeared. It was on the FDR.
Yeah. Well, this was coming off the FDR.
Yeah.
I hear the hiss.
Yeah.
I pull around the corner. By the time I pull around the corner on the 34th Street, the tire is flat.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately for me, I belong to AAA. Can I shout out the guy that came from?
AAA's the best. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, this guy named Jeffrey, Trinidadian guy.
Don't give him up, though.
Well, no, he was on the job. He was on the case. He got me over to a tire place, changed the tire, and I actually got here with a couple of seconds to spare.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's just a really strange way to start what's supposed to be a joyous weekend for me.
You tell me. I'm sitting there doing my homework up there at 3 in the morning, doing the research, 4 in the morning. You know, going over the stories, you come in, you know, with the flat tire thing. You say you got to go. I'm like, don't leave me hanging, man. I don't know if I can talk to myself, man. I don't know, man. You better come back, Mark, or else, you know, I'm going to be lost. If I'm left to my own devices, you know, the people out there will be like, dude, Marin's gone off. He's gone off. We've got some good stuff today. We got some good interviews. We've got the 9/11 Commission. We've got so much.
The pet goat is
that's
what
big,
we got.
That's the big story. We are going to be doing an honest reading, an assessment of the pet goat. We're going to assess it, you know, in terms of its literary qualities.
Yes.
We're going to assess it in terms of its conspiratorial implications.
That's
the
right.
Possible prophecy, and it may be the final hook in the long tradition of Skull and Bones to of course, this could be the pet goat in my speculations, which are incomplete, could have been one of the, a spell. It could have been a curse of some kind. It's got a lot of deep meanings given when it was being read.
Now, no one's heard this before, so this is actually a world premiere.
Oh, really?
Of a
story that was being read to the president by a second grade class while he was told that America was under attack, but he decided at that moment, if you see Michael Moore's movie, it doesn't look like quite of a decision as much as a temporary state of paralysis to sit there.
Freeze!
And listen. I don't know whether I have to assume he was still hearing the pet goat, because I think that in the way the world works, in that if you come from the conspiratorial point of view, that there are no coincidences, and perhaps there is some sort of predestination, that this actually had to be read in order for this particular administration, this group of people, to maintain power of the world throughout the end times. Okay, which are being redefined by Christian right thinkers right now, that the rapture is being redefined. But this is all getting a little complex. I know there's people out there like, where's Mark going? going with this. We'll find out because I'm not completely sure. I would like to say that as much of a great organization that Move On is, and that I'm very happy that they are getting people activated, stop bullying me to hang out with people. All right? I got enough of it. You know, now it's like it's one thing that, you know, forced me to acknowledge that I don't have many friends, let alone people to go watch every CD that comes out, Outfoxed and, you know, the other ones. But now they're like, a week from today, John Kerry will give the climatic speech at the Democratic National Convention. Would you like to host or attend a Kerry Edwards house party? Look, I got two friends. One of them sitting right here, laughing.
50%, ladies and gentlemen.
The other one just had a baby, so he's lost to me. He's a stranger to me. All right, he's been taken by parenthood. So stop making, you know, bullying me to hang out with people. I can watch it on my own and speculate on my own. You know, I can watch Kerry give a speech by myself and be perfectly moved to tears, you know, by myself. You know what I mean? I don't need to sit around with a bunch of other people over, you know, pretentious food going, wow, this is great. Did you make this? He's saying something important. You know, I know, you know what I mean? I know it's a great thing and it brings people together, but, you know, quit bullying me. You know, I know that I don't have many friends.
Oh, right? Is that what you think they're doing? You think they went after you because you don't have any friends?
No, no, I'm just saying, look, you know, it's like you can elevate consciousness, you can raise awareness, you can bring people together, but, you know, I think that the whole house party idea deters from the real message. I think it just gives people an excuse to show off their plates and their cooking.
You know, you're talking about like a real formalized kind
what
of
I'm saying party. Is I'm lonely, Mark. I'm
oh, you're lonely.
My wife is in Los Angeles. You know, I would have a Kerry Edwards house party. I would have a little Outfox. You know,
listen, if I was in town, I would come to your house. But I'm going to be out of town this weekend.
You are?
Yeah.
It's next week, though.
Oh!
I'm going to be out of town
next week.
Yep, for that.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah. You know,
how about the
I'm
week
starting
after?
To learn about this comedy thing now. But listen.
Yeah, okay, let's get in it.
9/11.
Yes.
The commission.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if people are, before the actual report came out, it looked like they put it out an hour early, although I could be wrong about that. But
a couple months late.
Late,
right?
Yeah. But it appeared at first as though people were really prepared to be very critical of this report. And in the interim, it seems as though, you know, after it's come out, a lot of the criticism from the left, I guess I might as well use that term, seems to be kind of muted. What do you think? Have you heard? I mean, look, maybe they were so even-handed and so nonpartisan that they just, you know, took the teeth out of both the liberals and the conservatives. Although the conservatives are complaining about a few things, and we'll get to that later with our dog of the week. It's, you know, the summary of this is, number one, poor leadership. Now, I don't know who they're saying was the poor leader.
Well, let's get right into it. He says, like, we do not believe leaders understood the gravity of the threat. All right, so, Chris.
What leaders?
Well, look at this. Chris, listen to this. I mean, let's just understand something. Do you have that sound of the first sound of Bush saying about the inkling? Let's hear that.
Let's
this
hear
is from.
That.
Had I had any inkling whatsoever that the people were going to fly airplanes into buildings, we would have moved heaven and earth to save the country.
That was January, February, March, April 13th, 2004. He did have an inkling. He had a presidential daily inkling, all right, that said Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. August 6, 2001. Is that an inkling? How is that not an inkling? This is where the left is maybe falling short, but I'll say it right now. The commission says, we do not believe leaders understood the gravity of the threat. Bin Laden determined to strike United States.
Yes.
So, I mean, they already let him off the hook. I'm not saying it's not credible, but I say that the bipartisan nature of this report, you know, has been too diplomatic and is too sympathetic to this administration. That's what I will say.
Now, terrorism was not the overriding national security concern for the Clinton or pre-9/11 Bush administrations. Now, we know that Sandy Berger spoke to Condoleezza Rice specifically about Al-Qaeda as he passed the baton as the administration's changed hands.
He said that it should be her number one
concern,
exactly.
Priority.
FBI Director Thomas Picard asked John Ashcroft for additional counterterrorism funds, and Ashcroft denied the request. Ashcroft reportedly told Picard after several briefings he didn't want to hear about terrorism anymore. So which leaders are they talking about when they say we do not believe leaders understood the gravity of the threat?
And what do they mean by the overriding national security concern? If your national security advisor tells another national security advisor, you need to be concerned about this. You need to be concerned not just about terror, about a specific organization. Remember, Sandy Berger said Al-Qaeda. He didn't say be wary of terrorism.
Yep.
He said be wary of Al-Qaeda. And he said Condoleezza Rice looked like she didn't know what he was talking about.
I think what we're seeing here is like too many cooks in the kitchen kind of situation, and they made a very bland bit of soup here, is that they've got all this information, they made this report, there were people from both sides, it was a bipartisan commission, I understand, but there was obviously a lot of negotiating about how they were going to present this information, and because of that, I think it's a little watered down.
Yeah. Now, and they also talk about unsuccessful diplomacy.
Yes.
They say that from 1997 through September 11th, 2001, the government unsuccessfully tried diplomatic pressure to persuade the Taliban in Afghanistan to stop providing sanctuary to Al-Qaeda. Now, I don't know what forms those efforts took, but we do know that the Taliban provided safe harbor for the Al-Qaeda terrorists, starting certainly that far back and into 2001, and we knew about it. We also knew that Pakistan was also providing some form of sanctuary, if through no other means, allowing them to use Pakistani soil.
And there's some issues about the Taliban was acknowledged as a government of that country, and they were trying to do business with them as well. They were trying, you know, outside of negotiating about Al-Qaeda, you know, they were trying to get into business with Taliban about that pipeline through Uzbekistan. But what I want to speculate, too, is that, you know, the neoconservative agenda to go into Iraq and seeing, you know, 9/11 as this window of opportunity was one of the great obstacles that was talked about, not by the commission necessarily, mm-hmm. but certainly we've talked about it, that they had Iraq on the brain. We'll go into that when we come back on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Oh, man, this is cool. I can finally request my favorite song on Sirius. Let's see. 877-33-SIRIUS. Okay, let's press 1 for Sirius. That's 1.
Hey, it's Kid Kelly. Thanks for calling the Sirius Satellite Radio Listener Line. To introduce or dedicate a song,
I'm going
to
press dedication.
3.
Yo, what up to my peeps? This is Jimmy from... Yeah! Hello! I'm coming to you from Canton, Ohio!
Hi!
Hey, this is...
The new Sirius Listener Line. Requests, dedications, you call it. 877-33-SIRIUS.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month and your desire to ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
What's going on? It is Friday. We're all worked up. I'm pretty worked up. I swear.
I'm worked up.
Yeah, I mean, you got energized.
I had to get somebody to change a tire at 4 o'clock in the morning. I am worked up.
Yeah, Riley's already been in a tow truck. He's been to the West Side. He's done business transactions. He's watched his car worked on already. Big day.
Yeah.
So let's speculate. All right. From what they're saying, the commission said that they didn't think that the war on terror was essentially a very good way of executing, you know, specifically the war in Iraq.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even refer to the war in Iraq as being part of the war.
See how vague the language is?
Yeah.
So let's fill in some blanks. Do you have the language they used there?
Well, they said that the notion of fighting an enemy called, quote, terrorism is too diffuse and vague to be effective. Gee, now, this is how many years after the war on terror started?
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden it's too big.
Exactly. And now let's not be unclear about this, that, you know, on some level there's been plenty of speculation on the left, certainly in the mind of me, that, you know, certain things enabled this administration and the people that run it to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. See, they say the intelligence community was mired in a bureaucracy designed for the Cold War, that these were Cold War thinkers,
yes,
that were, you know, all this intelligence apparatus was put into place to deal with Russia and the Cold War situation. So one of their criticisms is that that's one of the reasons why this happened, was that they were not up to date, the bureaucracy was too, you know, spread out, there wasn't enough intercommunication, and it was set up for a Cold War situation.
You know how bad it was?
How bad?
It was to the point that they had to scrounge for translators.
Right.
They had to give it, they had nobody in Iraq that spoke Arabic at one point. They had to literally go around and find people. This is the intelligence community. How do you expect to gather intelligence if you don't speak the language of the people you're trying to surveil? That's insane.
I think Sybil Edmonds did a lot of the whistleblowing on that. We had her on the show a while back.
Did.
I think she's still under some sort of gag order. Well, here we go. So what I'm saying is, from 1998, from a 1998 position paper from the Project for the New American Century, which is a neocon think tank, this is part of the Pax America, quote, okay, this is 1998 that these guys, which included Wolfowitz, Pearl, Elliot Abrams, all these cats were speculating and thinking. And this is a quote. The process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Hint, hint. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that this was an oversight that was intentional, that, you know, when these presidential briefings come by, you know, Osama bin Laden will attack the U.S. with an airplane against buildings, it's going to happen, wake up, that they said, no, yeah, pushed it aside because in their head they were thinking, how bad can it really be? I mean, you know, this will give us an entrance. This will give us a way to get into Iraq, which is what we really want. So I'm saying that this Cold War thinking apparatus was in place because they wanted to create a new Cold War. And what they're saying about Iraq, that calling it terrorism is not a great strategy, but the strategy of the neocons was to sort of consolidate the terrorist threat into a series of countries that will start to look like a block of Islamic Muslim thinking that they can sort of confine and create a new Cold War situation. That's one of my ideas, or not, maybe not essentially mine, but it certainly is.
But it's not Jonathan Larson. Don't point at him.
No, but I mean, I think, you know, from the reporting that Seymour Hersh has done, from some of the reportings about the insurgency, and clearly that terrorism is much worse than it was before the attack on Iraq.
No, there's no doubt about that. And remember, Mark, that the center point, the centerpiece of the neocons' thinking in going after Iraq was to create this domino effect that would eventually affect Iran and Syria and the other, quote, harborers of terrorism in the region. But terrorism wasn't really their end game. And this is the interesting thing, I think, about some of the conclusions that the commission made. The end game of the neocons was American hegemony over the entire region. Easy access to oil. You know what they're looking at, don't you?
Right.
They're looking at the possibility that they're going to have to compete with 1.5 billion Chinese for that oil.
Right.
In a very short period of time.
But the hegemony in that situation is that, you know, now they have it's a much clearly defined set of countries now.
Yes.
And they're calling it terrorism, but what they've done is they've drawn all the terrorists now use Iraq and northern Pakistan as sort of a capital for operations.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurgents go, you know, they dispatch from there into Saudi Arabia and some into Iran, some into Syria. So now they're creating this, you know, a very solid place to wage this war upon.
You know, that's the interesting thing, creating. Yeah. Because one of the things that the invasion of Iraq has done has forced the terrorists to become creative. And, by the way, to have a very fluid organizational structure that is very difficult for people to try and infiltrate, very difficult for people to try and surveil. That's why these insurgents in Iraq are able to strike seemingly at will.
And if the president, if this president is winning the war on terrorism, I'm just interjecting this, you know, outside of our, you know, commenting on the commission's report. If he's winning the war on terror, why is it that terrorists support him? For the terrorist, he is, you know, he's the best thing that ever happened. He, you know, Osama bin Laden has been trying for years to bring the terrorists together, to unite them, to recruit, to bring them, to make the message more cohesive. And he has made that easier for them.
Yeah.
Because he, like, right here, this is from an Islamic website that we pulled it off, and it's on the Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigade's website, which is a nasty jihadist terrorist website. It was posted by somebody. Quote, a word for the foolish Bush. We know that you live in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads, which spoiled your world, and we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government, and this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
They're campaigning for him.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
They certainly are. And, I mean, they are. That, you know how that message is disseminated, Mark?
How?
That message is, I mean, it's disseminated throughout the world of these insurgents and terrorists. And, you know, people, there's an infrastructure there that we know very little about as Americans. And I'm not sure you and I, standing up and sitting up in this studio, know that much less about all of this than the intelligence community, for God's sake.
Sometimes it seems like that. And also the intelligence community had been collecting all the information they could and trying to bring it all together. But they were also, you know, coerced and bullied by this administration to give them specific intelligence around this. So they enabled them to go into Iraq. And also the aviation security issue, clearly from those videotapes. Let's cover that when we come back, the aviation security issue.
Absolutely. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, the GOP. Looking for a few good Catholics and more here on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The White House is largely praising the work of the 9/11 Commission this morning. Even though President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney were adamantly opposed to its creation, panel's report, without assigning blame, clearly shows the Bush administration failed to take greater action to block the actions of terrorists. One of the recommendations of the panel is to develop a global strategy to dismantle Osama bin Laden's terror network and defeat the militant Islamic ideology that feeds such terror groups. Panel is also urging greater diplomacy and not war to blunt growing hostilities in the Arab world against Americans and American interests overseas. The report basically says failure to do so would put more Americans at risk. U.S. forces are still fighting in Iraq despite the transfer of power. American forces struck a hamlet on the outskirts of Fallujah in a bid to flush out terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
He was the bad boy of tennis. On the court, he was opinionated, passionate, emotional. And now John McEnroe's bringing it all to Sirius and CNBC. Each weeknight, the Wimbledon champ serves up his spin on the day's news, entertainment, sports, music, and hey, he'll even throw in a few laughs. McEnroe, Monday through Friday at 10 Eastern on Sirius CNBC 101.
This is Earth and Sky. Impending global warming is posing a severe threat to our planet's coral reefs.
That's according to Joan Kleypas, a scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. She and her colleagues published a report earlier this year that looked at the effects climate change will have on coral.
Scientists once thought that global warming might be good for coral, which thrive in warm water. But the increases in sea surface temperature seem to be happening too fast for corals to adapt. Coral bleaching is a stress response to excessive warming. In 1998, coral bleaching during an El Nino event killed over 15% of the coral reefs on planet Earth.
And as CO2 in the atmosphere increases from the burning of fossil fuels, some of it gets driven into the ocean. It makes ocean waters more acidic, slowing coral growth and making corals more fragile. Here's Dr. Kleypas.
In the background, occurring constantly at a very constant rate, is this change in seawater chemistry. But it is like the tortoise in this race. So you've got this slow-moving process of seawater chemistry change, which is just sort of creeping along in concert with changes in atmospheric CO2 concentrations.
Our thanks to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Here's the process. Conservatives go right from fear to anger to control or desire to control. Liberals go right from fear to anger to guilt to self-righteousness to tolerance, which looks like control sometimes, depending on how passive-aggressive we are.
Moving on. Did you get that yourself?
I did.
You didn't write that down?
I did.
You're not reading from anything.
I wrote it down, but I thought of it.
Wow, that's pretty good, man.
Thanks, buddy.
You're doing good.
Thank you. Here's the presidential pilot. By the way, I'm not going to be a blog puppet today. Do you understand? I'm not going to be it. I'll check in with it, but I will not be run by you people. Do you hear me, Jared? I am not going to be run by Jared in Chicago. I refuse to be maneuvered by Jared in Chicago.
At morningtradition.com.
Here we go. Presidential palm play. I got this from Ramon. He's out. The hell with it. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I love black people.
Yeah, right.
At least for a few hours of today. 8 a.m. Leave for Detroit to speak at National Urban League Conference. Make sure my velour Sean John tracksuit is back from the cleaners. 9 a.m. Arrive in Detroit. Tell reporters I didn't go to the NAACP convention 2 weeks ago because I was at P. Diddy's party in Miami. 10:05 a.m. Speak at National Urban League Conference. Detroit. Opening comment. We got any Piston fans up in here? 11 a.m. Fly back to Ranch in Crawford. Make sure to take off my velour Sean John tracksuit. It is comfortable, though. Change into jeans and boots. Am I a cowboy? Am I a homeboy? This is so confusing. 1:10 p.m. Arrive in Crawford. Ah, that settles it. I'm a cowboy. Always was. 6:35 p.m. Attend fundraiser at the ranch. Tell a roomful of white billionaire contributors, you'll never guess where I was this morning. Wait for laugh. Collect checks. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline from Ebony. Quote, why black voters are down with G.W. Bushizzle.
Yeah, right.
The president's schedule for today. And by the way, that's real laughter.
That's right.
Bastards.
Nobody's tickling me.
Bastards. It's like, you know what's great about liberal contributors to our email?
I'll tell you what's great about them is they're like, they make assumptions. You know, like, stop all the fake laughter. Yeah, God forbid a few of us have a good time. Sorry. God forbid. You're right. We should stop laughing because everything is so dire and serious. There's no reason to have hope or fun. You're right. MoveOn.org says have a little party.
That's right. Anyways. But no comedians allowed, though.
Anyways, here we go. Here we go. So the 9/11 panel, one of the things they talked about was weak aviation security.
Yes.
All right? Hijackers studied publicly available information on aviation security to exploit weaknesses, one. Two, they slipped through airport security checkpoints even after being selected for extra baggage screening, two. Two of the hijackers were on government terrorist watch lists, but the Federal Aviation Administration did not, you know, use the data. Despite recommendation, airplane cockpit doors were not reinforced to prepare for suicide hijackings. And, oh, yeah, they took flight lessons.
Yeah,
they learned how to fly. And, you know, it's weird because the computer-assisted passenger pre-screening system, or CAPS, which is in use now.
Yes.
Okay, it'll identify threats. It'll identify potential, you know, threats by... So it'll get suspicious if they travel one way or pay for their tickets with cash. Or how about this one? Or are terrorists.
Yes.
I mean, I can get money anywhere in the world with my ATM card. I can check my email on my phone. Are you telling me that they can't get an active list in place that would, you know, put these people who are clearly, you know, not only suspected terrorists, but are terrorists, and not let them get on a plane with a Leatherman?
Remember something? They detained a couple of them and still let them on the plane. Remember that?
Yep.
They detained a couple of them, put them off to the side, asked them questions, looked in their bags, and still let them on.
Yeah, the plane. And this is after the presidential daily inkling.
Yes.
Bin Laden determined to strike U.S. with an airplane! An airplane! Okay, maybe you should have just maybe had a little list. How about a little list? Just have them posted by their little computer, their ticketing terminals. Here's a little list. Osama bin Laden should not be able to get on a plane, or these friends of his. How about that? How about the government doing that?
You know what, Mark? What's scary about these conclusions of the 9/11 Commission?
Outside of them being, you know, prime for our speculation because they're so vague to
well,
kiss
yeah.
ass.
But they're vague, but they're also, it seems to me, almost insoluble. There would have to be so much work done by this government in terms of the way agencies relate to each other and the way agencies do their business. Every agency, I don't care whether it's public or private, they have their own little culture, okay? Go to motor vehicles, you'll see one aspect of culture. You go to Payless, there's a different kind of culture. And all of these different government agencies have a culture.
Yeah, I was assuming that, you know, that the FBI might have been a little more together than the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm sorry.
Don't bet the store, that's my point.
I was assuming that the CIA might have their crap together a little better than the post office.
Wait a minute. I used to work in the post office, pal.
Okay.
Don't knock the post
office. So let me ask you a question. Why'd it take so damn long?
Don't ask me. That was 30 years ago.
Oh, my God. If I got to pick up a package, you know, and I give the slip to the Asian woman. For some reason, they're all Asian at my post office. I don't know why. I'm not making any judgments, but they are. She disappears into the back. I don't know where she's going. 20 minutes later, here's the package. It's like, hey, look, you guys have been at this for a long time, all right? The post office has been at this a long time. I'm assuming there's some stacking methodology to where the box might be?
No.
All right?
You ask too much.
So what you're saying is the FBI, the CIA, perhaps the entire administration is not unlike these government agencies?
Exactly. And what happens is they operate by a particular culture, and they, in some instances, just act on their gut. So if they see a guy, they pull a guy over to the side, they don't find anything in his bags or whatever, even if he's on, you know, they look and say, well, you know, he's supposed to be a little problem, he paid cash, he's flying one way or whatever, if they don't find anything, they let him on the plane.
And that's a good point, because also, another great thing about Americans is we don't want to do any extra work. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Would you rather hear this?
Correct.
Does a perfect Sunday afternoon sound like this?
After you mow the lawn, I need you to fix that leak.
Or this. In-depth analysis. This.
As terrorist attacks continue to thwart efforts for peace in the Middle East.
Or this.
Jeff Gordon just had the race of his life.
If you answered like I think you did, you, my friend, are an Oval Track guy.
Oval Track, the complete NASCAR wrap-up show. Sirius Sports Action 123.
And my God, would you take your underwear off the floor?
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-up for military service, was rejected, rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Past the hour. It is 42 past the hour.
Wow.
Unbelievable. That was great. We're having a good time.
We're moving right along.
I'm not going to be a blog bitch. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to shut it down. Dream Diary stays. Shut it. Hey. Too many. It's like there's a lot of people that aren't in the blog that choose email, you know?
Yes.
Whoa.
Name your poison.
Let's shift, man. Let's shift.
Let's
cover some other stories. We'll get back to the 9/11 panel. We're going to have Commissioner Richard Benveniste on later.
And even later, the pet goat.
The reading of the pet goat, which we will do straight. And then we're going to do it Ginsburg style.
Hey,
Allen Ginsburg style.
How about that guy?
The snappy, snappy.
the
angel-headed hipsters in the deep, dark morning, whatever.
The guy that's with your mom down in Florida.
Yeah,
he would be perfect to do it.
Skilly bop bop, hey, man, what's going on? Groove it up. I hear you chirping away on the AM. Speaking of poetry, quickly.
Let's talk about Catholics.
Go ahead.
That's right.
No, we're going to just quick. No, you didn't. I just brought it up because I was talking about Ginsburg. Here's a little spam poetry for you. A short one to start. Harmonic, try the lilac. Oh. I like this one. Lou, professor of black, Boyle, personal narrative voice. Swarthmore, historian who knows. Excitatory, the receiver straight. Chiffon, do you know? Bandwidth, the swallow's wings. Circa, name, Ivan cried. Athene, reasoning on this.
Define professor of black. Send that back and find out who the hell they're talking
about. Dude, let's just continue. But this is a different poem, mind you. Skillet, not merit this. Footwear. The professor dialed a cyanimid dearly for this ambrosial to leave here. Procrustes, sparrows chirping came. Spam poetry.
All right.
Gotta love it. I think if I read enough of these, we're going to summon some sort of secondary demon from hell. Like the studio's just open, and there will be the real source of the pet goat's energy.
Coming up through the floor.
So speaking of Baphomet and other secondary demons, apparently the Republican National Committee has asked Bush-backing Roman Catholics to provide copies of their parish directories to help
register Catholics to vote in November. Okay, so this is stepping on, this is pushing the edge of the IRS's limitations on churches to get involved in political campaigns in order to maintain their non-for-profit status. And they're having these problems. So, like, this is the second time. The Southern Baptist Convention came out against this crap, you know, and now, you know, it's up on the plate again here with the Catholics.
See, there is, I think, a right to privacy that you might have if you, you know, if you practice your faith. These are directories that are supposed to be used by the church, not by political parties.
To bring people together, to let people get to know each other. The directories are like the moveon.orgs for the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to get people having dinners, talking about Christ.
Well, they can't give parties. They might as well.
Can't be. Of course the Catholics can give parties. No?
Can they?
I think so. I think it's the Mormons are not big parties.
Oh,
Jehovah's
okay.
Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Not big dancers.
No, they don't dance at all, in fact.
That's what
I hear.
But
now, I don't understand why they're doing this.
Yeah.
They got, I mean, it's not like the Baptists are Bush's enemies. And they weren't down. Now they come to the Catholics with the same thing.
But, dude, this is going to work against their, you know, this is going to work. This is a tricky thing, okay? Because if they lose their non-for-profit status, can they still get faith-based initiative money? Do you know what I mean? I wonder if that's contingent upon that, you see? So, like, you know, it works against them in a certain way. If these churches want to get, you know, their faith-based initiative payoff, it'd be curious to know whether or not that money is protected by this same thing, the non-for-profit status. You know what I mean? Because on some level, I'd like to say that the Republican National Committee, by doing this, is saying, look, we'll kick you a little of that faith-based initiative. Because none of that money's going to, number one, very little is going to black churches. Very little of it is going to Jewish organizations. Very little of it, or nothing, is going to Muslim organizations. And the satanic cults are completely left out of the loop.
Now,
the good thing about all this is that our boy Barry Lynn, friend of the room.
Oh, yes.
His organization, Barry Lynn's organization, which is Americans United for Separation of Church and State, filed a complaint with the IRS against Ronnie Floyd, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Springdale, Arkansas, accusing him of preaching a sermon promoting Bush's reelection on July 4th. So he's taking these guys to task. And apparently there's another organization, and this organization is called, I have it, Mainstream. The Mainstream Coalition is actually sending out secret moles into congregations to spy on ministers and congregation leaders to see if they're blatantly campaigning for Bush and then reporting them to lose their tax-exempt status.
Now, here's what makes the Catholic situation different.
Yeah.
The Catholics...
It's in Latin.
Well, yeah, that too. And no guitars or anything.
Yeah.
No, the Catholics are huge landowners. Gigantic landowners. They own land... Tax-exempt land, by the way.
They're losing a little land up in Boston.
Well, yeah, but they're not losing St. Patrick's in Midtown Manhattan. Do you know what would happen if the Catholic Church suddenly had to start paying property taxes on all of the property that they own in this country?
They bankrupt the church.
Yeah, even faster than the sex scandal.
Absolutely.
Did. And you're talking about, when you start talking about messing with the church's tax-exempt status, you are then talking about subjecting the land that these churches are on and their buildings to property taxes. And believe me, there are municipalities all over the place, even though they may respect the church, who would love to get that revenue.
Yes.
So what happens if somebody is successful? And that's why I think the Catholics are going to stay hands off of this thing. I don't think the Catholics will grant this access because they know better than to expose themselves to huge... St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Absolutely.
Do you know what the property tax would be on St. Patrick's if it was, you know, under normal circumstances?
And you know how much trouble it is when Catholics expose themselves, and that's what cost them, you know, most of their real estate up there in Boston was lost because of Catholics' need to expose themselves. But priests specifically. But if you want to get involved, I'm going to get the website of the Mainstream Coalition. They are, the group maintains it's nonpartisan and objects across the board to all kinds of politicking in the pews. The organization's website shows this, the Mainstream Coalition has a strong political agenda of its own. And those, the policy statements posted on the website include strong support of Roe versus Wade, strong support of late-term abortion, strong support of sex education, strong support of human cloning, strong support of hate crime laws, strong support of gun control, strong support for teaching of evolution. How can it be possible to live in a country in the modern world where evolution is still a question. What do these people want to make the roads dirt again? What are they, morons? Unbelievable. They are strongly opposed to prayer in school, strongly opposition even to the wearing of religious symbols on government property, which I, at this point, symbolically, it's almost become necessary because the enemy is people who have no respect for the separation of church and state. So I got to, you know, I got to pull up that website. I'll have that for you in a second.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the Catholics, many of the Catholic spokespeople that are quoted in the article about this attempt by the RNC to do voter registration, the Catholics say, look, we already do that.
Yeah.
We do it ourselves. We don't need the Republican National Committee doing this. But they're doing this, Mark.
Yeah.
Because they see some people on the Democratic side, like the NAACP and others,
yeah,
doing voter registration. So they figure, well, if they can do voter registration, then we can do voter registration. But they're messing with the wrong situation here.
Yeah, the Catholics have seen presidents come and go. And on that, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
they've only had one of theirs.
Yeah, and they've been in power a long time.
Very, very long time.
Yeah, we'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Arrowtown, for free. O.T. Arrowtown is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks.
That's a good one.
And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people don't even know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug-Free.
Racial steering is illegal. It takes away your right to see the homes you want, deserve, and can afford. If you think you've been a victim of housing discrimination, contact the National Fair Housing Alliance. We'll respond to your call within 24 hours and inform you of your rights. Check us out online at nationalfairhousing.com or call 1-866-222-FAIR. That's 1-866-222-FAIR. A public service message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Blah, 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 blah.
54 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
The riled Mark Riley.
Yes.
The riled Mark Maron on a riling edition of Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Quick news bite. I've been following this story. 11 employees of the Pilgrim's Pride poultry producer, a supplier for Kentucky Fried Chicken, were fired after video showed them torturing chickens. PETA, PETA, released a statement saying, quote, "We are suing the company on behalf of battered chickens everywhere."
Somebody actually wrote. Somebody got paid to write that press release.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's well, that's good news. You know, since I took a little heat for that. There's some people wanting to source these stories on the GOP seeks Catholic parish directories. That's from the Associated Press, and the other piece on Barry Lynn, who's doing the big work in mainstream coalition. That came from WorldNet Daily, testing the faith. Political snitches monitor sermons. And you can be a snitch, I believe, if you go to mainstreamcoalition.org. The link is on our website, morningsedition.com. And Mark Riley, why don't we talk about that sports story that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, because I've always grown up, Mark, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I have always had a natural affinity for people who do stuff that other people really hate.
Oh, good. Yeah, me too.
And I have to salute Carlos Delgado. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's a baseball player, plays for the Toronto Blue Jays. He was in town last couple days playing the Yankees. Carlos Delgado will not stand when God Bless America is played at ballparks across the country. Now, they started playing God Bless America in the wake of September 11th.
Okay? Right, right.
Carlos Delgado is a vehement opponent of the war in Iraq.
Okay.
Okay, not of the, you know, dealing with whatever with September 11th, but he was opposed to the war in Iraq, so he has decided not to stand. So, fans in Yankee Stadium yesterday booed him.
Okay.
Okay, and he's been getting flack from people within Major League Baseball for taking this particular stand.
They always played Star Spangled Banner.
They played the Star Spangled Banner. I believe he stands
for
that.
That's different.
But they play God Bless America, like, I think, in the seventh inning or something. During the seventh inning stretch.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
He goes, yesterday, apparently, he went into the clubhouse, or into out of the dugout area while it was being played. And afterwards, he would not talk about it. He said, look, I'm not going to talk about it. Is that okay? Thank you. And I admire the stand that Carlos Delgado is taking here. If he doesn't want to stand, that is his right. And apparently many of his teammates support his right not to stand when God Bless America is
You
playing.
Can make a choice. You're going to take some heat, but you can make a choice. You,
you, can
know? You
a,
can't
yes.
be bullied. You know, I'll tell you one thing that's almost as scary as terrorism is belligerent patriotism and what can come from that. Believe me, sometimes if you think for yourself or you think against the mainstream, they will victimize you, they will bully you, they will even kill you if you don't believe the way they think you ought to believe.
You want to hear a word of what he said? Well, oh, no, you can't. Sorry.
I guess we'll do it next hour.
Yes.
Because there's the liberal agenda, which is, of course, very important. It's from the Streisand compound. It gives us our marching orders on a day-to-day basis. And here's today's. Please, write these down. One, call Marvel for comic book adaptation of 9/11 commission report. Because children are our future. Two, talk to Moby about punching up Carrie's acceptance speech with light show, glow sticks, and pacifiers. I think maybe the pacifiers should go to Republicans, actually.
Yeah, really?
They're babies. I think that Rush Limbaugh should wear a diaper and suck the pacifier. Three, have Ron Reagan Jr. recreate his speech in modern dance on Boston Common with the cast of Rent. There you go. Four, remind people, it's not Catwoman, it's feline American. Thank you. Five, today's phrase is dropping into conversation. Quote, Hillary Nader, 2008, we can't lose.
Coming up in the next hour, Morning Condition, more on the 9/11 Commission Report, a conversation with Commission Member Richard Benveniste, and here's the first, our reading of the pet goat when we come back here on Air America Radio. Just
this therapy session is almost over, Bob. Now, the problem?
I was in a car accident. I want my car fixed right, but where? Please, help me.
You're scaring me, Bob.
Wait, I've got it. iCar Gold Class Professionals Businesses.
Great. They know how to fix your vehicle right. They have up-to-date training and keep up with the latest repair methods and technology. Visit the Gold Class Business Directory at www.i-car.com.
iCar, a not-for-profit organization, and the Gold Class Professionals Program are dedicated to training the collision industry to ensure complete and safe repairs.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity. New
way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The nonpartisan 9/11 Commission yesterday released its long-awaited report without assigning blame to either the Clinton or Bush administrations for the series of government missteps to thwart terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. But it is clear from the report that the Bush administration this morning failed to acknowledge the severity of the terrorist warnings. The Commission concluded that government and its policies were to blame for the loss of American lives on 9/11-2001. The panel says the most important failure was one of imagination, suggesting intelligence analysis that will better detect potential attacks, security that will better prevent them, and foreign policy that will better discourage them. The commissioners are urging the White House and Congress to quickly enact their proposals or face political consequences. Commission co-chair, former Republican governor of New Jersey, Tom Kaine, says, "We cannot afford to let our guard down." As the cost of fighting and rebuilding in Iraq keep mounting by the billions, lawmakers and policymakers are debating how much more will be needed and whether money used so far was well spent. Congress and its auditors are looking at amounts still required as the campaign moves well into the second year. One congressional committee has looked at allegations of war profiteering by private contractors, and with the State Department now in charge of American activities in Iraq, instead of the Pentagon, officials there said yesterday that they think reconstruction money could be better spent creating Iraqi jobs than on big-ticket infrastructure projects. At least $100 billion already has been spent or is in the pipeline for the now 16-month-old campaign, according to the Defense Department figures. American forces launched a precision strike this morning on the insurgents tied to Jordanian terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in the turbulent western city of Fallujah. This according to U.S. military officials. The military said the attack was aimed at 10 to 12 terrorists, but didn't say how many people were killed or hurt. Dr. Kamal al-Ani said from a Fallujah hospital that five civilians, including three children, were wounded this morning after an American warplane fired a missile that landed in the garden of a house in the Jebel neighborhood. South of Fallujah, it appeared to be the same strike. More bad news for the Bush White House with respect to prisoner abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan. An Army Inspector General's report indicates that some 39 prisoners were killed in U.S. custody, and there were 94 cases of proven or suspected abuse. The report is said to be more precise and higher estimates of the scale of the abuse. The report also gives new details about the alleged abuses, including evidence that troops conspired to make Iraqi prisoners jump off a bridge, that one interrogator hit a prisoner in the head during questioning, and that a sergeant told subordinates to rough up detainees. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Seriously? You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green? I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
This is Earth and Sky. When we visited the Bronx Zoo in New York, we recorded this question.
Hello, I'm here in the Bronx Zoo. My name is Christian Rojas, and my question is, how long does it take to adapt a zoo animal?
Christian, wild animals don't often have to adapt to zoo life anymore. Almost all zoo animals nowadays are products of generations of zoo life. If zoos hadn't captured their great-great-grandparents, some species of zoo animals we see today would be extinct.
Recently, because of drought, gamekeepers in Swaziland in southern Africa wanted to make room in their preserve. Lowry Park Zoo in Florida and the San Diego Zoo took the rare, controversial step of adopting 11 elephants from the preserve. These elephants adapted within weeks. Elephants do adapt easily, and the zookeepers use rewards to train them for zoo life. But also, even in the preserve, these animals often interacted with humans.
In the old days, animals from the wild suddenly found themselves in concrete and iron zoo cages. Some never adapted, and many became mentally ill. Nowadays, zoos create near-natural environments and actively stimulate the animals in their care. Thank you for your question, Christian, and with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
We're going to do it. Good morning. Welcome aboard, geniuses, babies, victims of all kinds, self-righteous, haters, all of you. Welcome. Nice to talk to you. Sensitive sorts. The umbrella is big enough for everybody, even for chickens.
Ooh.
Some guy yesterday. After we tell a story about the horrendous chicken abuse, and I do a little portrait of several different angles on it, kind of funny portrait, some guy goes, would you make jokes about the Holocaust? Oh, yeah, I see the connection. Jews, chickens. And that, you know, that what is that? And that was coming from a liberal point of view. It's like, I don't think this is very funny. Would you make jokes about the Holocaust? Wait, let me get this straight. Chickens, millions of Jews killed in ovens. Chickens. Oh, okay.
Millions baked in them.
I got to part ways with you on the sort of all life is equal thing. You know what I mean? I dig. We're all sort of here like, you know, great, like fauna on a flying orb. I understand the sun's rays are good. We shouldn't kill anything. You know what? But I got to be honest with you. Humans, a little bit more important than chickens. Got to be honest with you. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm crazy.
You blaspheme.
Well, yeah, really. I'm blaspheming of the vegan dogma. You know, that's why things are so screwed up. If somebody would prioritize Jews over chickens. I couldn't believe it.
Has he stood
Would
in
you
front
make
of
jokes about the Holocaust? Chickens, Jews. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And they're going to call me being insensitive and potentially politically incorrect. I'm making light of a situation that is hurtful to animals, hurtful to people who have to work environments where they're not paid properly, covered with health care, and full of bitterness. There's a lot of things I explore, but all someone's limited perception through their ears that are connected to their limited brain could say is, would you make fun of the Holocaust? Yeah, I get it. I get it, man. You're on the right side of things. Jews, chickens. There's no difference. I get it. Yeah. I mean, you know, when Spiegelman did Mouse... Okay, when Spiegelman did the comic novels Mouse about the story of his grandfather during the Holocaust, or it might have been his father, and used mice and cats to characterize it, there was a certain ironic distance, there was a certain metaphor, there was a symbolism that was being engaged there to get a message across in a way that people could understand it in a poignant manner. You know, for you to trivialize, you know, that situation by drawing some sort of comparison, you know, of being at par, that the chicken issue is at par with the Holocaust, and then to consider yourself politically correct somehow is insane. Insane.
Well, what about goats?
Screw the goats.
No, yeah. You screw the goats.
There's plenty of people do. There's plenty. There are plenty of goats. Plenty of goats to go around. Apparently, did you know goat meat is the most eaten red meat in the world?
I'm not surprised.
Goats have been around forever. We have got a lot of speculating about goats to do later because we are going to have the first public reading of The Pet Goat, which is the child story from a collection. A phonic collection of stories. It's called Storybook 1. Reading Mastery 2 is the series, published by Macmillan McGraw-Hill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if that's pushing any buttons for anybody, start speculating. Turn on the conspiracy calculators. I want you to get your symbol abacuses going because I'm going to lay out some stuff after The Pet Goat that we want to put through the blog conspiracy abacus. And I want to come up with some conclusions about the prophecy of the reading of The Pet Goat.
McGraw-Hill. All right, dig it. McGraw-Hill. I know that means something to some of you. I did a little research myself. We're going to be reading that in a little while. We're going to be getting now back into the 9/11 Commission report. And I was speculating earlier. I like the word speculating a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, because that's what I do. In lieu of being truly informed, one must speculate on vague ideas and notions.
That's what talk radio is all about, folks.
That's what it's all about, unless it's... Wait, why did they talk about the issues? Why are they not... They should be informed about the issues, because we're fighting for our lives here. Fighting for them. Chickens, Jews, everybody's fighting. Now someone will write, hey, I really don't like the way you were talking about Jews. Get over it, man. If you just tuned in, you missed the first part. All right. I'm sorry.
If you're just joining us.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, geniuses, babies, victims, and haters. Baby. wow. See, I think that, you know, there's some speculation from a... Because I was talking about Wolfowitz.
Yeah, yeah.
And his immediate, you know, on September 17th, 2001. September 17th, 6 days after the most heinous thing this country has ever seen happened on its own shores, Wolfowitz wrote in a memo to Donald Rumsfeld, quote, even a 10% chance that Saddam had a role in the attacks, quote, maximum priority should be placed on eliminating that threat. See, do you understand what happened in that statement? Do you understand? Dismissed it. 3,000 dead. No. Don't see it. All right? The chaos in the country. Everyone's scared. Smoke is coming out of a massive grave in New York City. Hey, dude, wake up. We got it. See, if we could just connect them by one person, if one of these Al-Qaeda guys ever even had lunch with somebody who knew Saddam Hussein, we'd get our prize, man. It fulfilled the neocon agenda. Did they let it happen? Did they not let it happen?
Well, if you're talking about 10% possibility that
it
did,
there.
Then it's 90% that it didn't.
Right.
Right?
But
so
it's actually like 99% because they're saying that even there was no coalition, there was no cohesion, there was no many words with a C that start with C-O.
But you know what? Wolfowitz and that crew did not care. They didn't care one way or the other about whether or not there was any evidence of a link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, because that wasn't what they were looking for. What they were looking for was a catalyst, any catalyst, and this was it.
Isn't it unbelievable, September 17th, that Paul Wolfowitz would say that? September 17th, 6 days after. Not like, where did these guys who were on the planes come from? Where are they holing up? What about Afghanistan? What's the issue? No. Doesn't matter. This will let us get to Iraq. We've been waiting to do this for over 10 years.
Now, we will assume, for the point of this discussion, that by September 17th, 2001, they knew that 14 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. Did Wolfowitz say anything about, gee, you know, maybe we ought to reassess our relationship with the House of Saud, because this is really unacceptable.
In a way, they did. What they said was, good, now if we can take Iraq, we can finally compete with those Saudi idiots and get out from under them. That's sort of what they did. It's like, here's our business opportunity, as you were saying, to protect our investment, our control over global oil, so China and Saudi Arabia doesn't put us completely out of business.
Yeah, well, you know what? You make a very good point. Now, here's the other thing. Here's the real question that comes out of out of this report.
Yeah.
Does Bush get a pass? Now, I'm not talking about a pass in the report.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a political pass.
Well, let's talk about that after the break. We'll be right back on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today!
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
Do you recognize your children as one of a kind? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Each of your children has unique DNA, unique fingerprints, and a unique personality. They also have different needs from you. One may seek encouragement, the other responds better to affection. In order to meet their unique needs, you need to take the time to understand them. Pay attention to what makes them light up and what seems to discourage them. Take the time to get to know their dreams, talents, and interests. To help you get started, visit FamilyMinute.net for a free customizable chart on your child's needs. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Hey, guess what? Wake up. It's time for my dream diary.
Oh, yes, haters. Haters!
There's someone reaching for their radio knob in the UK right now. I don't think so. I don't think I'll be listening to that. Not that I want to be a blog bitch, but someone in the UK is like, I turned mine down here because, oh, look, it's coming. I've got to, let me just adjust it. Maybe I'll listen to the BBC. Maybe that week I'll get some information about a little something. I don't want to hear that nonsense, that crazy, neurotic Jewish nonsense. It's too poetic and lyrical for me. I like it when it's just a beat where if someone's dressed as a woman going, hello, I like that. Because I'm British. Here we go. Was that racist? I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm going to call my wife and find out.
It's a long Shakespearean tradition. The British, they love the guys dressed as girls doing jokes. They love it. Early on. You know, that Shakespearean plays were only done with men, and the women parts were played with guys dressed as women.
Uh-oh.
And that ain't no BS, my friends. So here we go. I'm in the Tour de France. And I'm pedaling my ass off trying to climb this Alp. My dead cat Butch is riding on my handlebars. Ah, France, Butch says. Where every man is either an anvil or a hammer. He is a beater or he must be beaten. Butch, I say, my knees throbbing and popping like a frying pan. You can either quote Voltaire or sit there doing nothing, but you can't do both. Lining the road are thousands of Europeans, and they hate me. They yell things like, go back home, unilateral American cow puke. I'm translating from the French because I... My contempt for your vulgar pop culture transcends geographic boundaries. Your cuisine is substandard and your wine lacks complexity. They're also throwing stuff, and pretty soon I'm covered in spit and camembert and a nice little Beaujolais. Way up ahead, I see Lance Armstrong, who showered, took a nap, had dinner, and seen a movie with Sheryl Crow, and he was still ahead of me. Just behind me is Cheney, whose bike is being pulled by 20 Iraqi kids with ropes attached to their tricycles. When one of them starts to slow down, Cheney eats him. And there's Kerry, climbing steadily. The Europeans stop throwing stuff and start chanting, Kerry! Kerry! Viva la Kerry! Too bad none of them can vote in Ohio. Behind him is Edwards. Edward doesn't sweat. At all. He doesn't sweat, and that creeps me out a little bit. Finally, there's Bush, huffing and puffing up the hill. He keeps repeating, I'm a peace president. I'm a peace president. I'm a peace president. Suddenly, the French unleash a ferocious food barrage at Bush, more vicious than anything they've ever done in a real war. They throw lettuce, carrots, radishes, in fact, whole garden salad smack W on the helmet. Wheels of rotten brie, moldy escargot, stale freedom fries, all took to the skies and splattered him like a two-legged dumpster. Bush lost his balance, crashed through a rail, and free fell 5,000 feet. All you could hear was, "I'll make you safer." A gypsy family at the bottom of the mountain found him, took him inside their quaint cottage, and ate him. Luckily, the brie embedded in his skull was still quite flavorful, you know, because it ages nicely. I woke up, and my bed was filled with liberty, equality, and fraternity. Now, I think I'll turn my radio off now. I wonder if he's done.
Oh, he is. Good.
Maybe I'll get some information. So, what were we going to talk about now?
Will she get information? Was that a she?
No. It was a guy.
Oh, it was a guy.
Yeah, it was a guy I was creating in the UK.
Sounded kind of girly, man.
So I want to just make it clear that when they said, one of the commission reports said, we do not believe leaders understood the gravity of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then wait, do we have which bushing do we have lined up? I don't. We have number three, but we haven't set that up yet. So let's. Why don't you do that? What is number three about?
Number three is Bush. See, Bush reacted to the report. I'm sure he was worried about how the report, if the report would damage his presidential campaign.
Yeah.
So he decided, I think, to essentially co-opt the report.
Right.
And act as though he was down with the commission and down with the report all along.
Even though he did everything he could to obstruct the investigation. He initially opposed the creation of the commission altogether. In spite of pressure from Congress, the press, and 9/11 families, Bush did not agree to create a commission until over a year after 9/11. The Bush administration handpicked Henry Kissinger to run the commission. Why didn't you just pick Hitler?
Oh, see.
All right, the White House resisted Chairman Thomas Kane's request for additional funds. I mean, you know, they did everything they could to stop this because it might implicate them. And this commission, and we'll talk to Commissioner Richard Benvenista in a little while, I think they buckled a little bit. I don't think they were a little too diplomatic in their conclusions.
Well, Bush decided to be diplomatic in his assessment of the report itself. He was speaking yesterday at the Northeast Illinois Public Safety Training Facility. Wow, what a name.
Yeah.
And was talking about the fact that he actually agreed with some of the things the commission said. Let's hear him.
I agree with their conclusion that the terrorists were able to exploit deep institutional failings in our nation's defenses that developed over more than a decade.
You like that, huh?
Well, it's okay, great. So, and then he says, the job's not done, and this report will help our country identify even more steps to better defend America. I don't know what those are yet, and I'm speculating here, but vote for me, and I'm sure I'll figure them out by then. You know, and then he says, we will give serious consideration to every idea because we share a common goal. We do everything in our power to prepare for and to stop any terrorist attack. All right? So he's going to think about it? He's going to think about what needs to be done, maybe work it out later. Whereas Kerry said, this administration had ongoing war between the State Department and the Defense Department and the White House. People have been at odds. Everybody knows it. They'll deny it, but everybody knows that the fact is that it has struggled. It has created a struggle that has delayed our ability to move forward. Calling them on their stuff and then demanding action. This is not a time for bickering, not a time for politics.
You know what's Freudian about what Bush said, though?
What?
Remember, he's talking about failings in our nation's defenses that developed over more than a decade. Now, if you go back 2 years more than a decade, who the hell was president?
Who's the night watchman when the robbery happened?
His father.
Yep.
His father, who previous to that headed the CIA.
Yep.
All right? So, in a way, his saying, I agree with their conclusions that the terrorists were able to exploit institutional failings in our nation's defenses that developed over more than a decade, he's actually indirectly criticizing his own father.
Thinking that the dumb monkeys that, you know, believe in anything he says without any sort of investigation on their own or any ability to think freely, he just assumed that they would blame Clinton immediately. Whereas Clinton was a president who took action before a presidential daily inkling came across his desk. Do you know what I mean? I'm referring to that because that's what Bush said. Do you have the first one?
Chris, oh.
This was from April.
I had any inkling whatsoever that the people were going to fly airplanes into buildings, we would have moved heaven and earth to save the country.
Here you go. Here's a transcript from the Presidential Daily Inkling from August 6, 2001, titled in big letters, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. I'm sorry, is that, maybe I should look up the definition of inkling so I can be clear on what it means. Whereas, you know, The commission says we do not believe leaders understood the gravity of the threat. The gravity, which leaders? All the leaders? I mean, Sandy Berger told Condi Rice that Al-Qaeda should be her number one priority. Number one. FBI Director Thomas Pickard asked John Ashcroft for additional counterterrorism funds. Ashcroft denied the request. All right? Ashcroft reportedly told Pickard after several briefings he didn't want to hear about terrorism anymore. All right? And then they received the memo. Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. George Bush did nothing in particular. Bill Clinton attacked Al-Qaeda camps before having received any such information. He took action before 3,000 people were killed, which oddly, and I'm speculating, plays into this administration's plan to consolidate the planet and, you know, and feed their friends.
Feed their friends and enrich
Look at this. Think about it. All right. This is the 1998 position paper from the Project for New American Century, a neocon think tank. Quote, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic, catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So then, in September 17th, I already mentioned this. Wolfowitz. Okay. I'm getting a little worked up. I'm getting a little
That's
ahead
all right.
of myself. But it just seems to me billions and billions of dollars are now going into defense contracting. And now, after the other day, $5-something billion into a new bioterrorist shield, which means vaccine, antibiotics for everybody. Sounds good to have a stockpile, but who's going to get the payoff? Pharmaceutical companies. Who was the head of a pharmaceutical company? George W. Bush Sr., George H.W. Bush, and Donald Rumsfeld. Both were CEOs of pharmaceutical companies. Big kickbacks. You understand? How is it just a coincidence that because of our fear and exploiting of our feelings, that all of these people are making the money? Oil companies, military contractors, pharmaceutical companies. And the only thing that they decided to do today was to pass some legislation for passenger planes to have anti-missile capacity.
What does that mean, anti-missile? What, they got anti-missile missiles?
Dude, I just had no idea. Like, you know, I hope this isn't just a homeland venture. I mean, am I misunderstanding something? Are there people here in America that have missiles? I'm sorry. Are there missiles floating around? You know, that's what
you
they
mean
did.
Non-government employees with missiles? Because I think some government. I think Cheney is allowed to have missiles.
Can you get anything on eBay? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to talk to Commissioner Benveniste. Just, you know, in terms of. You know, what he really thinks, you know, whether or not he'll tell us that, I don't know. And I can't read, can't wait to read The Pet Goat.
Well, look, let's speculate for a minute before we go. Yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Is Bush going to get a pass on the 9/11 report?
You're going to ask me again.
Yeah, man.
I don't see how he can if our side does the right job in seeking the truth through incredible liberal spinning.
Now, see, the 9/11 commissioners say, and we're going to ask Commissioner Benveniste about this, too. They say they're going to go on the road over the next year and press for the reforms that they've recommended in this report.
The commission's going in a road show?
That's what they say.
That's hilarious. Are they going to all travel on a bus? We're hitting the road, fellas.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to end now. We can make some good jack on the road.
That's right.
Tonight at the Arkansas Civic Center, the 9/11 Commission and the 9/11 Commission dancers.
Don't
miss it. There's going to be juggling. A comic is opening. I'm not available. I'm working
sure.
here. I'm not going to open for the 9/11 Commission tour bus.
He's doing tough crowds. Sorry, folks. Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, 9/11 Commissioner Richard Benveniste, and the world premiere of The Pet Goat here on Air America Radio.
The oil-rich country of Azerbaijan is a brutal dictatorship. But when the Bush administration had to decide between promoting democracy and protecting the interests of Western oil companies, guess which one it chose? Get the full report now in this month's Mother Jones magazine. Mother Jones is an independent, non-profit news magazine. Its reporters dare to ask important questions. They dare to print what others hide. As a non-profit, they're obligated only to the truth. Mother Jones. Strange name for a magazine, but check it out. See what you think. on newsstands now.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. While the world is focused on the controversial 9/11 Commission's report, the Army Inspector General yesterday released their definitive report on prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib in Iraq and similar abuse in Afghanistan. The report concludes that the abuse was an aberration committed by a few, not a systemic problem. That's in sharp contrast with what the International Red Cross reports on the issue of abuse, charging it was systemic. Officials of the Halliburton Corporation, now deeply involved in rebuilding of Iraq, appeared before members of Congress yesterday where they poured cold water on growing charges of waste and overcharging. Democratic congressional leaders say Halliburton is gouging American taxpayers. The Republicans say the Democrats are on a witch hunt to embarrass Vice President Dick Cheney, who once ran Halliburton. And the government of Sudan tells the U.S. and Great Britain to butt out of their internal affairs. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
What you listening to?
Sirius 61 Boombox, Jimmy.
What's a boombox?
Well, it's sort of that old school party hip-hop like De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Rob Bass sort of sound. And then he mixed it up with some breakbeat dance like Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, and Fat Boy Slim.
Grandma, what's a Fat Boy Slim?
I'll tell you when you're a little older.
The new boombox. Check it out on Sirius 61.
Hi, this is Bobby Lodgett with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's a battle of epic proportions. Powerful forces against unmovable objects. No, not Brad Pitt fighting his Achilles in Troy. I'm talking about a modern hero. Come back and I'll give you the rundown. I'm Bobby Lodgett with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. He's no Brad Pitt, but Hybrid 3 is a modern-day warrior. He's a crash test dummy and the product of a blockbuster crusade by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to save lives. The family of Hybrid 3s are built to mimic human physiology with three types of instrumentation. Accelerometers, which measure acceleration in multiple directions. Load sensors, which calculate force on different body parts. And movement sensors, which gauge chest deflection. Data collected from frontal and side impacts enable OEMs to design safer vehicles. Now that's a five-star performance. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Good morning. It's morning's edition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
On Air America Radio. Coming soon in this hour, a reading of The Pet Goat, the book that George Bush was reading, or was being read to by a second grade class when the United States was being attacked by terrorists, and he did not stop the reading. On the phone now, Commissioner Member of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States, or the, as we know it, the 9/11 Commission. He was the chief of the Watergate Task Force, also chief counsel of the Senate Whitewater Commission, Commissioner Richard Benveniste. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The report does not conclude that September 11th was preventable, but what about the converse? Did you conclude that it was not preventable?
Well, we laid out a considerable amount of evidence to show that there were many missed opportunities, which had the very substantial amount of information which our intelligence community had collected been utilized efficiently and effectively, could well have interrupted or at least postponed the plot.
Like, what are some of those actions?
Well, for example, the fact that the two Al-Qaeda operatives were known to be in the United States who wound up being two of the hijackers, Al-Hazmi and Al-Midhar, were not located. Their pictures simply could have been put on television.
Right.
Mousawi, the greatest example. We knew as of the 16th of August that this was an Islamist terrorist who was learning to fly a commercial airliner despite the fact that he had no background in commercial aviation. He had unexplained $35,000 in his bank account deposited in cash. He had been training in the martial arts. He had purchased knives and global positioning equipment.
So a lot of red flags there.
There were there was a lot of intelligence information. Had it been utilized, could well have interrupted the plot.
So what do you think that before September 11th? You know, to what extent did its focus, on Iraq distract this administration from Al Qaeda?
Well, we have found that there was absolutely no credible evidence to suggest that Iraq was in any way involved in any operational planning with Al-Qaeda, much less 9/11.
Isn't it amazing that they keep saying there is a connection?
Well, I will just repeat the fact that what we have found.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner, why didn't the panel refer to Iraq as part of the war on terror?
Well, our mandate was to investigate thoroughly the basis for the attack, why we were unprepared, why we couldn't prevent it, and we did so. Iraq was really peripheral since it was not involved in the planning of the attack. The Iraq war and the reasons for it, which were advanced, and the corroboration or lack of corroboration for those reasons was simply not within our mandate.
But see, now, the commission did talk about the war on terror and some of the problems that it may have had, and the Bush administration has always linked Iraq to the war on terror. Why didn't the commission make that same linkage?
Well, beyond the scope of our statutory authority, Iraq is the third rail politically in this political election, and we were not looking for additional reasons to politicize our work. We certainly had enough as it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, Commissioner Lehman, your colleague, has had some very strong words about Viacom, saying that they engaged in a jihad against President Bush. How do you react to those words from your colleague?
Well, I don't know what they were. I haven't heard them, and the commissioners have agreed among themselves not to be involved in any partisan debate at this point, not to work for any particular party, not to get involved in the election, and not to make partisan statements.
Did he violate? Do you think Commissioner Lehman violated that by saying that the Richard Clark book and the appearance on 60 Minutes was part of a jihad against Bush? Did that violate the no partisan clause?
Well, I didn't hear him say it, so I'm not going to comment on it.
He was supposed to be here today, and then he bailed.
Yeah, unfortunately. Let me ask you this. Apparently there's some panel members who are talking about continuing the work of the commission by going out into America and lobbying for some of the recommendations, if not all the recommendations, that have been made here. Do you anticipate being a part of that group, and who are you going to lobby?
Well, what we're going to do is explain ourselves. We're going out speaking in communities around the country. We're doing radio and television, explaining where we're coming from, why we have made the recommendations, which are informed by a very substantial 20-month fact investigation, which virtually dictates that we've got to change.
Right. Are you guys all going to be traveling on one bus? Or?
Yeah, there are only 10 of you.
Yeah. I think
we're going to try to be more efficient and spread out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got a question for you. Now, being that it was a bipartisan committee, and some of, obviously you're very diplomatic about the results and how they're presented, to a point where I think that some of the stuff that came out was vague enough to be easily politicized by either side. Now, how much did politics affect the report's final conclusion?
Well, we wanted to stay away from partisan politics. The extraordinary thing is that this commission, made up of five Democrats and five Republicans, has reached a unanimous report. There is not a single footnote. There's not a dissent. There's nothing.
Right, but at what cost is that? You know, because it seems to me that on some level it stifled, you know, some of the more cutting conclusions that could have been put out there.
Well, the fact is that conclusions based on fact are just subject to interpretation of individuals. And we've left the interpretation to the American public.
So doesn't that leave that information sort of, you know, the information itself to be, you know, victim of extreme spin by either spin machine, and whatever spin machine is better can, you know, politicize it more effectively?
Well, you may have a point there, but we're relying on the American public to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Oh, boy.
And the facts are the facts. Okay. We've set them forth in detail for anybody who wants to read them and draw their own conclusions. What's important is going forward and making the recommendations which we've made and getting them enacted into law.
Our guest is September 11th Commission member Richard Benveniste. Commissioner, there's been a mixed response to your report, obviously. Some Senate leaders say they're going to try and act quickly on your call to overhaul congressional oversight of American intelligence. But House Speaker Dennis Hastert says there's going to be no rush. And the president says he's obviously going to study the report but didn't endorse some of the recommendations. Was this overall the reaction you were hoping for? Is it too much to ask the Congress to overhaul the way it deals with intelligence, given the kind of turf battles that might ensue?
Well, you're exactly right. It's not going to be an easy push, and that's why we need to mobilize those in Congress who are ready for change. There is a clear mandate based on the facts that require change in the way we do business, and the fact that we have united five Democrats and five Republicans in a unanimous report that says we've got to change, and change in a big way, hopefully will catch fire, and that we'll put aside the partisan bickering on this issue and make our country safer.
Can I ask you a quick question about the Sandy Berger issue? How much was the investigation hampered by Sandy Berger and his document holding his document holding socks? but I want to ask you, and I want you to clear this up for the people that are listening, is that there were copies of these documents, and you guys saw all those documents that he accidentally took, right?
We had all of the material so far as we have been advised, and we've been advised by the Department of Justice, which has conducted this investigation, that there is no reason to believe that we were denied the opportunity to review any material that we wanted, including the materials that are the subject of this inquiry.
Right.
Commissioner Benveniste, there are a lot of 9/11 families, we've talked to a couple of them, that wanted to know specifically about the role of the Saudi Arabian government in helping to fund the attacks on the World Trade Center and obviously the other attacks that took place on September 11th. Did the commission go deeply enough into that issue?
We feel we did. We have a chapter on this. We talk about funding, and the conclusion was that the government itself was not involved in funding al-Qaeda or 9/11. On the other hand, Saudi individuals contributed either knowingly or unknowingly to charitable organizations, and I put that in quotes, which then funneled money to al-Qaeda.
Okay. Commissioner Benveniste, thank you for being with us. Have a good time on the road.
Take care. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye. And when we come back, we will have myself and Mark Riley will be reading The Pet Goat here on Air America Radio.
Seriously. You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today!
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
When's the last time you made your spouse's favorite meal? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. And when's the last time you bought your mate their favorite magazine? The point is, doing special things for our spouse shows them we care. It also shows them we're paying attention to what makes them happy. So if you know what brings a smile to your spouse's face, do it. If you don't know, or if you've forgotten, find out. Just ask them. The nice little things you do for your spouse can make a big difference in your marriage. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head. No way. I saw him do it. Cool. Send me to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Let's get in it. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. We're about to read the pet goat, but first, since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 25. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning to you. Now, you may not know the name Halliburton. Oh, okay, so you do. Good, that's good. Because they're the ones that control Iraq now. I know you thought we controlled Iraq. All right, and then you thought you controlled Iraq. Uh-huh. Wrong both times. Halliburton runs Iraq. And that's okay. You want American democracy? That's how we do it. Corporations choose our political candidates, and when those candidates take office, they pass laws that allow corporations to steal, pollute, and deny working people health insurance. And then they don't pay one dime in taxes. Is this a great system or what? Well, now it's yours. Yeah, sure, celebrate. I guess you thought democracy was all flag-waving and fancy constitutions. Well, here's your wake-up call, Iraq. It's about keeping Halliburton happy. And if you wanted to overthrow Halliburton, you'd have to buy the guns and the bullets from them to do it. How do you like that? After a nuclear war, the only two things that will be left are Halliburton and cockroaches. And you know what? At least you can trust cockroaches. So forget God Bless America. To paraphrase one of our presidents, ask not what Halliburton can do for you, ask what you can do for Halliburton. Good luck and God bless. This is day 25 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Okay, we've been promising it. Here it comes. All right, this is the pet goat. It's a story a classroom of second graders was reading to President Bush on the morning of September 11th, 2001, after
he was told that America was under attack. The world has never known what was so compelling about this story, and that it kept President Bush in his chair for an estimated 7 minutes, rather than attending to his duties as commander-in-chief at the time of his nation's greatest peril. Until now. Morning's Edition is proud to present the world premiere of The Pet Goat by Siegfried Engelmann and Elaine C. Bruner from their book, Reading Mastery 2, Storybook 1. Now, let me set the tone here, Riley. Mr. President, the country is under attack.
The Pet Goat. A girl got a pet goat. She liked to go running with her pet goat. She played with her goat in her house. She played with the goat in her yard. But the goat did some things that made the girl's dad mad. The goat ate things. He ate cans and he ate canes. He ate pans and he ate pains. He even ate capes and caps. One day her dad said,
"That goat must go. He eats too many things."
The girl said,
"Dad, if you let the goat stay with us, I will see that he stops eating all these things."
Her dad said,
"Well, we'll try it."
So the goat stayed, and the girl made him stop eating cans and canes and caps and capes. But one day, a car robber came to the girl's house. He saw a big red car near the house and said,
"I will steal that car."
He ran to the car and started to open the door. The girl and the goat were playing in the backyard. They did not see the car robber. Then it says, more to come.
That's right. So do what President Bush did and don't leave your seat until you hear the exciting conclusion of The Pet Goat. That and the Morning Sedition Business Report coming up next here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Sirius. Oh man, this is cool. I can finally request my favorite song on Sirius. Let's see. 877-33-SIRIUS. Okay, it's press 1 for Sirius. It's 1.
Hey, it's Kid Kelly. Thanks for calling the Sirius Satellite Radio Listening Line. To introduce or dedicate a song,
I'm going
to
make a dedication.
Three.
Yo, what up to my peeps? This is Jimmy from... Yay! Hello! I'm coming to you from Canton, Ohio. Hi! Hey, this is...
The new Sirius Listener Line. Requests, dedications, you call it. 877-33-SIRIUS.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
There you go.
Welcome back. It's Morning Sedition. We're reading the pet goats. Oh, wait, but there's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. This week's big news is good news for those thinking about investing in ethylene oxide or any of its sexy derivatives. The Indian government is finally distributing Union Carbide's $330 million settlement to the victims of the 1984 Bhopal disaster. This means the catastrophe's 578,000 victims will now receive a whopping $571 apiece. That's a lot of money for somebody who's been waiting 20 years, can barely see, and probably can't even walk anymore without a respirator. It also means more revenue for the new Bhopal Medical Center, built with settlement funds and run by, guess who? Union Carbide. In business terminology, this would be labeled a classic win-win. Imagine killing 15,000 people and injuring 578,000 more for only pennies on the dollar. This company is invincible. Not unlike those deadly chemicals still menacing the people of Bhopal to this very day. Hey, just ask its former chairman. His name is Warren Anderson, and he lives comfortably in Florida. He's invincible, too. Nobody can touch him. It's amazing. This company can do no wrong. So we heartily rate it a strong buy. As always, due diligence is your responsibility, but don't go snooping around Bhopal. That has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Here we go. Onward. Back in. Remember, we're reading the pet goat. It's an exciting story. I know some of you are hanging by the edge of your seats, by your toenails, by your fingernails. And again, let's set the tone, Mr. President. The country is under attack.
The goat stops the robber. A girl had a pet goat. Her dad had a red car. A car robber was going to steal her dad's car. The girl and her goat were playing in the backyard. Just then, the goat stopped playing. He saw the robber. He bent his head down and started to run for the robber. The robber was bending over the seat of the car. The goat hit him with his sharp horns. The car robber went flying. The girl's dad ran out of the house. He grabbed the robber.
You were trying to steal my car,
he yelled. The girl said,
but my goat stopped him. Yes,
her dad said.
That goat saved my car,
the car robber said.
Something hit me when I was trying to steal that car,
the girl said.
My goat hit you.
The girl hugged her goat. Her dad said,
that goat can stay with us. He can eat all the cans and canes and caps and capes he wants.
The girl smiled. Her goat smiled. Her dad smiled. But the car robber did not smile. He said,
I am sore.
The end.
Mr. President, can we go now?
There it is, folks. The pet goat.
Man, we're going to do some speculating on the other side of this hour. Come on, let's lay it out. Let's put it into the conspiracy abacus. Goats, okay? If any of this that I'm about to say, I've only got a minute, we're going to come back on the top of the hour, reiterate it, and see what you guys have to say. If any of the stuff I'm about to say right now is old news to you, because you've already speculated along these lines in relation to this story for these reasons, you need some real help, okay? Or really help us, because you might have the real answers, all right? Goats. Let's talk about goats. Nomadic people of the Middle East tended goats as early as 10,000 years B.C. Goats, together with dogs, were the first animals to be domesticated, often carried on ships as a source of fresh milk by early explorers to the New World. Goat meat is eaten more than any other red meat worldwide. Myth about goats eating tin cans comes from their innate curiosity, okay? The Azazel goat, translated in the Bible as a scapegoat, was selected at random once a year on the Hebrew Day of Atonement to bear symbolically the sins of the nation of Israel. Dude. Okay. It was one of two goats chosen for the ceremony. The first goat was sacrificed while the scapegoat was taken out into the wilderness and released. Okay? Satan, often represented in the form of a goat in satanic rituals of the Mass of the Dead, known as the Black Mass. The Knights of Templar, hello, wake up, allegedly practiced their initiations and rituals in front of a large idol of the demon Baphomet, said to be a symbol of lust, generation, and wisdom. Cathedral of the Black Goat and the Black Goat Cabal. Oh, man, there's more. There's more, Riley.
There is more. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, 9/11 widower Stephen Push, the presidential daily briefing, and the liberal agenda, only here on Air America Radio.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. 9/11 Commission member Richard Benveniste says he and his colleagues are about to take their findings to the American people so they can better understand what has come out of their 20-month investigation. Benveniste appeared on Air America's Morning's Edition this morning. Panel released a report yesterday and did not assign blame to either the Clinton or Bush administrations for the series of missteps that led to the 9/11 attacks. But the panel seemed to paint a picture that President Bush and his cabinet failed to seriously consider the warning signs before the attacks. President Bush yesterday put a positive spin on the commission's findings, even though he and Vice President Dick Cheney were initially dead set against its work. Bush says his policies are in lockstep with what the commission wants.
The commission's recommendations are consistent with the strategy my administration is following to address these failings and to win the war on terror.
President Bush yesterday commenting on the 9/11 report. Meanwhile, the commission also concluded that war is not the answer to solve America's problems with the Arab world. The panelists say give diplomacy a chance while coming up with an effective strategy to disarm Osama bin Laden and elements of his al-Qaeda terrorist network. The images were vivid. A U.S. Army sergeant who told his troops to rough up two prisoners, a platoon that agreed to make prisoners jump off a bridge into the Tigris River, an interrogator who hit a prisoner in the head. Those were among the new details of abuses by U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan reported by the Army Inspector General's office. The review found 94 cases of confirmed or alleged abuses and 39 deaths, 20 of which were ruled homicides or remain under investigation. As the cost of fighting and rebuilding in Iraq keep mounting, by the billions, lawmakers and policymakers are debating how much more will be needed and whether money used so far was well spent. Congress and its auditors are looking at amounts still required as the campaign moves well into its second year. One congressional committee has looked at allegations of war profiteering by private contractors, including Halliburton, and with the State Department now in charge of American activities in Iraq instead of the Pentagon, officials there said yesterday they think reconstruction money could be better spent creating Iraqi jobs than on big-ticket infrastructure projects. Iraqi authorities reported yesterday the discovery of a decapitated body in an orange jumpsuit and a head in a bag on the banks of the Tigris River. The discovery heightened fears that a second Bulgarian hostage has been killed. The deepening hostage crisis across Iraq has prompted the government of Kenya to tell its people to leave Iraq. Militants holding three Kenyans hostage are facing execution if the Kenyan government and those countries of other hostages fail to get their nationals to leave. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Oh, man, this is cool. I can finally request my favorite song on Sirius. Let's see. 877-33-SIRIUS. Okay, it's press 1 for Sirius. It's 1.
Hey, it's Kid Kelly. Thanks for calling the Sirius Satellite Radio Listening Line. To introduce or dedicate a song,
I'm going
to
make a dedication.
Three.
Yo, what up to my peeps? This is Jimmy from... Yay! Hello! I'm coming to you from Canton, Ohio. Hi! Hey, this is...
The new Sirius Listener Line. Requests, dedications, you call it. 877-33-SIRIUS.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likens with another Car Clinic Minute. The Duke boys spent their time running from Roscoe and over curbs. Entertaining for TV, but in reality, they were a hazard. When I come back, I'll give the Dukes an emergency driving lesson.
I'm Bobby Likens with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product.
ask your shop for BG44K or go to BGFindTheShop.com. That's BGFindTheShop.com. Bo and Luke responded to the call of the wild with hazardous disregard. But here are the real rules of the road when it comes to sirens. If you hear an emergency vehicle yowl or see red lights, pull over to the right side of the road and wait. If you're already stopped at an intersection, stay put. In any case, yielding right of way to an emergency vehicle is a law, so don't pull a Luke Duke and try to outrun the ambulance. And after an emergency vehicle's passed, stay aware of more that might follow. Remember, an ambulance's wail is sweet music to people in need, so always give them the right of way. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Yes, yes, it is Friday. Good morning. Mark Riley, how are you?
I'm fine,
like
thank you.
I'd like to say good morning to all the bullies and babies and self-righteous weenies out there, all the geniuses and victims and people who put animals and humans on the same level. Hey, if you're going to make fun of chickens getting killed, why don't you just make Holocaust jokes? Yeah, great idea. Great way of thinking. People who put those in. Yeah, you're right. People are no different than chickens. Anyways, if you don't know what I'm talking about, sorry, I can't go into it right now. I got other stuff. Now, the weird thing that I was trying to isolate the difference, we talked about this before, between the liberal mind, the conservative mind. It seems that the conservative mind goes right from fear to anger to control and attempting to control, right? And the liberal mind goes from fear to anger to guilt to self-righteousness to tolerance. Sometimes equally as dangerous, all that. I understand you people. I understand what's going on. I understand myself. I want to reveal this about myself. If you don't know me, I have the heart of a people pleaser and the brain of a rebel. All right? So that's what I'm living through every day. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, we read the pet goat, and I'm inviting you to speculate. You know, we had some guy yesterday already posting McGraw-Hill stuff, but it didn't really get to the core of it. The pet goat, if you were listening, as I said, clearly, you know, goats are very popular. They've been around for thousands of years. The goat represents the Azazel goat, translated in the Bible as scapegoat. It was selected at random once a year on the Hebrew Day of Atonement to bear symbolically the sins of the nation of Israel. I can't even begin to speculate on that without getting in trouble, but you take that what you will. All right? The towers are coming down. All right, and this is what's going into his head. Now, I am speculating, even in a conspiratorial way, that he had to sit there for reasons that he didn't even understand. That this children's story may very well have been part of the prophecy, may have been the key that unlocks the final global domination of the dark times. You understand? Skull and bones, Freemasons, 33rd degree latitude. How clear does it have to be? Look at the symbolic language of the pet goat itself. What's the pet goat? Who's the girl? America. Who's the dad? The president. Who's the goat? Good question. That's where it gets a little weird, a little speculative. Is it a scapegoat? Is it a demonic symbol? You know, the car, the robber comes. Who's the robber? I don't know. He's trying to steal a car. A car runs on what?
oil. Hello? All right? The goat, America's goat, kicks the robber. Yeah, literally, it didn't say in the book, but he butts him in the butt with his satanic horns, saving the car vis-a-vis saving America's ability to consume without any sort of care for the global dynamics. Man, am I reading too much into this? Let's get into the, where is it?
Wait a minute. Now, there's an email that kind of picks up on your same thing here.
Okay.
I think that the whole goat story is code from the CIA. And what we have here is a record of the regular presidential daily briefing. So what looks to us like a complete moron showing a total lack of leadership was, in fact, a great mind deciphering the code in his head.
Yeah, without knowing it, though, like a Manchurian candidate, like the weird Bush advocates that have been planted there from the original Bush power grab with Prescott Bush on through George Herbert Walker Bush, who allowed his son to be brainwashed and had a chip placed into his head because he knew it would be best to save. Man, did you guys know this, by the way?
No.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely not.
Let's talk about it. So the pet goat, the book, was put out by McGraw-Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, McGraw-Hill, apparently, are they connected to the Bush family? I believe they are. You know, one of the trademarks of the current reading reform legislation out of Washington is that any district wishing to qualify for government funding must be implementing scientifically based reading instruction. Only, quote unquote, approved reading series text curricula will be funded by the government. And by the National Reading Panel standards, that would mean a heavily scripted phonics program. And who is the biggest phonics publisher? McGraw-Hill.
Oh, I thought
okay.
It was Macmillan.
McGraw-Hill. Yeah, McGraw-Hill Macmillan.
Oh, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so they're in collusion, too. I don't even want to get into that. But McGraw, the McGraws, were friends all the way back three generations with the Bush, and they were part of the original founding families of Jupiter Island.
So wait a minute. You're saying then that this is yet another instance of George W. Bush looking out for his friends.
It's deeper than that, Riley. It's part of that, but you see, the reading of the pet goat to the president, waiting to hear the finishing of it while the country was under attack, which that attack would lead for the power grab of the planet, you know, conducted by the people that run him and his administration, and of course, you know, the aliens that are, anyways. Am I being unclear, man? A little bit?
Just slightly.
Jupiter Island, a haven for the Northeast ultra-wealthy, a private island with extremely selective credentials and intense security, located off the Atlantic coast of Florida, connected by bridge to the coastal town of Jupiter, Florida, near Palm Beach. The island was founded by Avril Harriman, a rich, powerful politician and businessman who went on to hold various elite public offices, including ambassadorships and a role as advisor to Harry Truman. Two of the first elites to frequent the island back in the early 1930s were Prescott Bush, George W.'s grandfather, and James McGraw Jr., whose family still runs the McGraw-Hill Publishing Company, who published The Pet Goat that was being read by children to our president, who chose to listen to it as opposed to take the helm when our country was being attacked. And now he stands to hold the world by the nads for the rest of time if we don't take action against the satanic plot revealed to us through The Pet Goat. That's it, man. That's it. If you got any other speculation you want to blog it, I'll be your blog bitch for that. But I'm not going to be your blog bitch for anything else. You can go to morningsedition.com.
Go ahead. Have at it.
Man, dude, I'm sweating.
I know.
I'm sweating. I hate when I start boiling up like this.
No, but I mean, that was a fantastic speculative extrapolation.
And look at the weird phonic symbols on the pet goat text.
Oh, wow.
If that was, like, I didn't even know what they were. I was like, hey, could someone explain what the weird symbols are? Because if you can't, we're really in trouble. Like, it's not just enough what I just said that now I'd have to sort of accommodate these weird symbols that are like, umlauts, but they're not umlauts. They're like stretch. I didn't have phonics when I was a kid.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that is actually how it's written for seven-year-olds?
You know what? I'm starting to think that if I turn this upside down, it might
be. There it is.
Yeah, a masonry map to the Holy Grail.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. And look at the illustrations. I don't like it when I get into this brain.
Why?
Because everything breaks apart and nothing seems to have any purpose but these vague poetic speculations, you know, extrapolating from history. See, the great thing about conspiracy theories is they actually feel like you're thinking.
And most people just thought goat was dinner. You see that?
A lot of people do. See, that's another thing about the goat that a lot of people may not realize.
It's the most eaten red meat on the planet.
Right, right. Goats by the thousand have their throats slit at folk temples throughout India annually, with bodies left twitching for about 70 seconds in religious ceremonies and sacrifices. Who's standing up for the goats? Hey, dude, if you're going to make goat jokes, you know, why don't you just make fun of the Holocaust?
That's right.
And if you just tuned in, that's a reference to something. I'm not saying that. There was actually a listener when I made fun of chickens being battered, which I didn't really make fun of. I made light of in a satiric way. Someone wrote in and said, if you're going to make fun of chickens being brutalized, you shouldn't just make jokes about the Holocaust. So that's what that's referring to. So I don't want any weird, 70-year-old man, liberal Jewish emo going, what kind of show is this? That's hate talk. That self-hating Jew. And another thing, I resent self-hating Jew. I resent being called a self-hating Jew. All right? Because what's being Jewish have to do with it?
Who called you that?
I don't know, man. I am like just, my brain just splayed open.
You know what it is? It's the release of the September 11th report. I can tell.
It is. It's
because
on my mind.
That's what connects the pet goat. Yes. I mean, this is what our president was doing when the country was under attack.
Yes.
And I mean, it could have been worse. He could have been reading to the kids. But in fact, and a lot of people thought he was, actually. The initial reports made it sound as if he was the one that was doing the reading. He was not. He was the one that was being read to.
Right.
And he knew, as our crack intern Jesse told us, he knew ahead of time. It wasn't like they interrupted the read to tell him this. He was told before the read began that yes, there two planes had crashed into the World Trade Center. Now I got to tell you, I've always been curious about what he did immediately after he left that school, because apparently, his first instinct wasn't to go back to Washington. It wasn't to go, I think he went to, like, Louisiana, was it, or something? He went somewhere that was really a little strange for a president who was running a country that had just been attacked like that. It was like Franklin Roosevelt, right after Pearl Harbor, decided to go to Warm Springs, Arkansas or something. It didn't make any kind of sense.
He just got up.
Yeah, he just got up and he got in a plane, and he went to two different locations.
I think he went to the little boys' room first, down the hall.
I think so. Something stuck. No, let me not go there.
Ooh.
But, hey.
Marky went to the poopy.
No. Not about our commander-in-chief.
Hey, he poops.
He's got nads.
People poop. That's one of the few things that people all have in common is poop.
Yeah,
God bless the poop.
Well, as long as it's not in your pants.
Oh, da-dee-da-da-da. Hey, man, if you're going to make jokes about that.
Right. I know. But look, the 9/11 Commission, who, by the way, Commissioner Richard Benveniste really got a big yuck out of you asking if they were all going to ride on the same bus when they ran around the country to lobby for change. But, this is something interesting because most commissions that function like this are for a certain period of time. Then they all break up. They go back to doing what they're doing. I think Benveniste is a partner in a huge law firm. All these people go back to their regular lives. They cease being commissioners. They go back to having fun.
Hopefully, by doing what they're doing, they will continue, like, by taking it on the road or at least doing these speaking engagements. They will elevate consciousness. The hope is that they don't just disappear, and that the importance of this commission's report doesn't just take a back burner. That action is taken upon it. That Kerry takes these guys to task in his speeches upcoming. That he has some real solutions for this, because the Bush administration has no plan for a second term. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We've got the liberal agenda. We've got Stephen Push, who is a 9/11 widower. We will be talking to him about what he thinks about the commission's results. And we have a lot more stuff. So stay with us on Air America Radio.
Good news for Oregon's Deschutes River. Amy Sowers from American Rivers explains.
The dam owners, Portland General Electric, and the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs are agreeing to make substantial improvements to the dams and the way the dams operate.
This historic agreement will benefit the river's health, the ecosystem, plus salmon and steelhead will now be able to get to their spawning grounds upstream.
No other large hydroelectric project in the United States is jointly owned by a utility and a Native American tribe. It is a great example of using the best science of a collaborative process. We're really proud of how it turned out.
This proves there are solutions to environmental problems.
I think that's really important that people know that there's a healthy river flowing in their backyard.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green? I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tramike asked the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. So that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content, then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Hey, it's Friday. A lot of things have happened. I mean, that is a general thing. Things, since I've been born, many things have happened, and I can't even begin to go into all of them. Mark Riley is here.
Good morning.
We've got Chris over there on the board. Young Jesse here taking notes, the intern, learning.
Jesse's going to own this network.
He's here doing the big learning. There's nothing weirder than to be doing anything and have someone looking at you writing things down. Going to read some of those notes there, Jesse. Right now from Ramon in the Oval Office, who doesn't mind us saying his name anymore. Here's the president's schedule that was downloaded from the Palm Pilot today. 7 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. I love black people, at least for a few hours today. 8 a.m., leave for Detroit to speak at National Urban League Conference. Make sure my velour Sean John tracksuit is back from the cleaners. 9 a.m., arrive in Detroit. Tell reporters I didn't go to the NAACP convention 2 weeks ago because I was at P. Diddy's party in Miami. 10:05 a.m., speak at National Urban League Conference, Detroit. Opening comment, quote, "We got any Piston fans up in here?" Oh, God. 11 a.m., fly back to the ranch in Crawford. Make sure to take my velour Sean John tracksuit off. It is comfortable, though. Change into jeans and boots. Am I a cowboy? Am I a homeboy? This is so confusing. 1:10 p.m., arrive in Crawford. Ah, that settles it. I'm a cowboy. Always was. 6:35 p.m., attend fundraiser at the ranch. Tell roomful of white billionaire contributors, you'll never guess where I was this morning. Wait for laugh, collect checks. 9 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline from Ebony, quote, "Why black voters are down with G.W. Bashizzle."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And Riley buttons it with a yeah, right. That's it. All right, so moving on. So now in reaction to the 9/11 Commission report, our president basically said, I'll think about it.
Yeah. I mean, he did say that he agreed with a lot of the conclusions about the intelligence failures. He said that those failures happened over the course of a decade, which, again, is the old blame dispersal thing that you talked about.
Scapegoating?
Before. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, we're going to talk to a board member of Families of September 11th. His wife, Lisa J. Raines, was on American Airlines Flight 77. Stephen Push is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your reaction to the commission report?
I'm very satisfied. It's an excellent report.
Mm-hmm.
They did a very good job of documenting the facts about 9/11 and making, I think, solid recommendations for how we could improve security to try to prevent such an attack from occurring in the future.
Do you think our president's going to enact
those things?
I think it's going to be a struggle. I think there are a lot of entrenched interests in Washington, both in Congress and in the executive branch, who would lose power under the new intelligence scheme that the commission has put forward, and I think there'll be a lot of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I know the president has had opposed the commission from the beginning, but in the end supported it under public pressure. I think it's going to take a lot of public pressure at this point to get these changes enacted, and I think the pressure is not just on the White House. I think all elected officials are going to have to be held account for making these changes.
How can people bring that pressure to bear on this guy?
Well, there's a presidential election this year.
Mm-hmm.
All of the members of the House are up for election or re-election. A third of the senators are. I think people should demand that the candidates unequivocally support this plan that's put forward in the commission report. And if not, explain what they're going to do that's better than that.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Push, you talked about some of the changes in Congress, and among the recommendations is a different type of relationship between the House Intelligence Committees and the Senate Intelligence Committee. And there seems to be a lot of disagreement about whether or not that specific recommendation can be implemented because, as you very correctly point out, legislators tend to protect their turf quite zealously. Do you see a difference between lobbying the American people for change versus lobbying their lawmakers for change?
Well, I mean, yes, as you point out, there are a lot of committees and committee chairmen who would lose power under a more consolidated oversight structure in Congress. But we have to keep the pressure on them. We have to tell the people have to tell their elected officials that if you don't support these changes, we will vote you out. Their particular power base, their particular favored chairmanships have to take second place to American security. And one of the things that was very clear from this report is that without a better scheme for oversight, without more a single committee that can have access to more information and spend more time on these issues, we're not going to have the kind of congressional oversight that we need to see that these agencies are functioning effectively.
So in your reaction to the report, did you find that although there was all the information was there, would you have liked to have seen more people identified with some of the shortcomings?
No, I think the commission made a wise decision in not pointing blame at particular individuals.
Mm-hmm.
All the facts are there. You can draw your own conclusions about who was at fault and who wasn't. If they had pointed the fingers at individuals, that would have detracted away from what I think is the most important thing about that report, and that is the recommendations for improving the future.
But in my eyes, we talked to Commissioner Benvenista just minutes ago, and you talked to him yesterday, and I asked him that in light of that, it was very stripped down and not necessarily vague in terms of information, but it leaves itself open to be politicized. And I'm just wondering, how much of that will happen with the campaign and how much will really,
be changed. Yeah, we're already seeing both Democrats and Republicans politicizing this and saying, playing gotcha, looking on page such and such on the report and Clinton didn't do this and Bush didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a very constructive debate at this point.
Right.
9/11 happened. We can't bring those people back. But what do we have to do now to
right.
see that there's not another attack like this in the future?
So the candidate that should take charge of the country should be the one that most represents the people in making these changes.
Absolutely. I think this is the most important issue in this election year. Everything else, education, health care, is secondary to whether this country can protect the lives of its citizens on its own soil.
And so,
Stephen Push, were you one of those who met with the commission chair, Thomas Kane?
Yes. Yes, he briefed us just before the press conference yesterday. He briefed us on the contents of the report.
Were you happy with that briefing?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
It was a very good briefing, and they asked us for our support in helping to enact legislation to implement these changes.
Mm-hmm.
helping to lobby for it, mm-hmm. and they got unanimous support from the families to do that.
Thank you very much, Stephen Push. We really appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Take care.
That was Stephen Push. He lost his wife, Lisa J. Raines, on American Flight 77.
Right, and he's a board member of Families of September 11th.
We've talked to him before.
Yeah, and I mean, they did some really, really important work. Were it not for those families, that commission would not have existed.
Absolutely.
Coming up, the Presidential Daily Briefing. You on the telephone.
866-303-2270. Call us now about anything we've talked about all day. Your 2 cents, give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. State Secretary Colin Powell says, forget about that idea of sending American troops to the African nation of Sudan to end the bloodshed and strife-torn Darfur region. Powell says diplomacy is the only way to deal with the Khartoum government. Great Britain has been flirting with the thought of sending troops. Sudan is telling both the U.S. and Great Britain to stay out of their internal affairs. 9/11 Commission released their findings on their 20-month investigation yesterday, virtually saying the United States is not immune to another terrorist threat. The panel did not blame anyone, but it largely questions the actions of the Bush White House on and before the attacks. President Bush praised the work on the commission and said that his policies are now in lockstep with their objectives. Halliburton officials were in Washington, D.C. yesterday testifying before Congress and attempting to convince congressional Democrats that they're not gouging the American people. And President Bush is getting ready to meet with delegates of the annual National Urban League Convention in Detroit today. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Look, you know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Springtime's full of color and beauty. Red, red robins, bright blue skies, pollen yellow automobiles. Back up. That's not a good look for your car. When I return, I'll tell you how to beat the birds and bees.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Unless you drive a taxi, yellow's not your color, especially when it's from pollen, blanketing vehicles, dulling finishes, and making you see red. But don't be blue. If you're allergic to dirty cars and want to protect your ride from bird droppings and bee pollen, treat your vehicle to a spring cleaning. Bathe it from top to bottom and avoid messy measuring with Meguiar's Quick Suds Car Wash Strips. And to really baby your automotive baby, protect it with a car cover made from Kimberly-Clark's Block It fabric. Now spring into action with these colorful hints and tell that robin to bop on along. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love it.
good. Nice to see you.
Hey.
Nice to see you, Mark Riley. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mark Maron.
This is tremendous. This is tremendous. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. I got to be a blog bitch for a minute. Hold on. Sorry, Mark. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess asking for compassion for all God's creatures is a bit much for someone who probably thinks it's okay to cut off part of a baby's penis. This is addressing that.
Is this anti-Semitism? Is this what we're hearing here?
This is liberal anti-Semitism.
Liberal anti-Semitism.
She's arguing.
Vegan anti-Semitism.
I said that, yeah, it was wrong. If that is her or him, I don't know, who said that, you know, if I'm gonna make light of the treatment, the horrendous treatment of chickens in the chicken plants, then I should just go ahead and make Holocaust jokes as well, which is crazy. Yeah, you can ask for respect for all God's creatures, but, you know, comparing, you know, the Jews that were killed in Germany, in Europe, you know, during World War II, to the abuse that's going on in the chicken factory. Yeah, you're certainly not out of line to ask for compassion, but I think your priorities and your perspective are a little skewed. But I'm not going to say the R word. But and also, as far as babies' penises are concerned, it's a small, instead of human sacrifice. That's why we give a little peace. You know what I mean? You're kicking God a little bit of change. There you go, buddy. You know, we don't need to kill the baby anymore. Just take a little piece off the top. And though it may be painful at first, aesthetically, very happy with the circumcised model. You know what I mean? I'm just happy with it myself. I'm not going to judge. Some people think, like, you know, this is the way it's really supposed to be with the uncircumcised thing. But I've grown to think it looks funny.
What is that? The circumcised model as opposed to what? The ragtop?
Is it called that? What is it?
I don't know.
I
guess it's uncircumcised.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, the uncircumcised, you know, the anteater thing.
Yeah. But most guys I know who've never been circumcised have some real problems later in life, so. We won't get into them now because that's biology corner.
Yeah, and let's not alienate our audience here.
No, any more than they already are.
All this pee-pee talk. Carlos in Greenwich, Connecticut. How are you?
What's up, Carlos?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
Good morning. Hey, I finally got through. I usually get the program in the afternoon.
Oh, well, here we are.
My take on the election and the campaign.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't see any Bush Cheney stickers on cars in Greenwich anymore.
Good.
You see a lot of Kerry stickers.
Good.
Really?
I think everybody's quite embarrassed of themselves for voting the guy into office.
Oh, my God. Who voted him for in the office? Not a majority.
Well, we're here behind, you know, enemy lines here.
Yeah, behind the Republican territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thanks for taking my call.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Now, this is very important stuff because, first of all, Greenwich, Connecticut is, you would think is Bush country because they have benefited, not everybody, but it is a rich town. A lot of those people have benefited mightily from Bush tax cuts.
Westport, though, I bet you is a different story. Westport's full of actors and artists.
Ashford and Simpson live in Westport.
There you go, exactly who I was talking about. Speaking of bumper stickers, the Kentucky GOP is distributing a bumper sticker that says, quote, Kerry is Bin Laden's man, Bush is mine, unquote. First of all, it's a lie, okay? Second of all, if you want to take some action, Chairman Jack Richardson IV, chairman at LOUGOP.com. That's chairman at lugop.com. Or you can call the Kentucky GOP main office at 502-584-7111. You can clog up their fax machine at 502-584-7118. And leave messages, man. Leave messages because let's not mistake, you know, who the terrorists want in office. Here's a little something from the Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigade website. Quote, a word for the foolish Bush. We know that you live in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads, which spoiled your world. And we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government. And this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
All right.
We got a caller in. Paul, how are you, Paul?
Fine.
What's up, Paul?
I have a question. We've just been told there's a hole in the dike.
Okay.
And Congress is going on vacation for 6 weeks.
Yeah. They're taking their
How much water can go through the dike in that amount of time?
It's mind-blowing. They're claiming that they don't have the time to get to work on this because the election's coming up, and none of them, I guess, want to make any personal mistakes that could jeopardize their political future.
Now, remember, too, that there are two people who can call the Congress back into special session.
Who?
I believe, well, the president, I think.
Obviously.
And actually three then. I believe Hastert and Frist.
Well, he's not going to do that. See, I think, Paul, what they're all going to do is they're going to go home and they're going to try and figure out a plan to give this president so he can have something to campaign on other than, hey, I know it's still dangerous, but, you know, I'm going to think about it.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for your call.
Oh, we got somebody with a timeline after Bush left Florida. Remember
right.
I was asking
Oh, yeah, let's get that when we come back. We'll be right back on Air America Radio, 866-303-2270.
Wait a minute, shouldn't he be officially nominated first?
Yep, and the Democratic National Convention rolls into Beantown next Monday, and nobody's got it covered like us.
From serious left to serious right.
We've got Sirius Out Cue live on the convention floor.
Sirius Patriot does their duty, plus coverage from Air America and NPR.
Not to mention updates on all our news channels.
Get every angle and every spin on the DNC starting Monday right here on Sirius.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy.
Come on,
clap your hands.
That's right. With their parents, mom and dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribute Foundation and the Ad Council.
SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business, has helped millions of entrepreneurs, and they can help you too. Call upon SCORE for free and confidential business advice. SCORE can help you start a small business or take your business to new heights. If you'd like confidential, no-fee counseling so you can improve your business, call SCORE for assistance. 1-800-634-0245. That's 1-800-634-0245.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio, and this show has been a blast today.
Yes, yes, yes.
A blast. Now it's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, Report Threatens Spin Opportunities. Mr. President, we know you don't pay any attention to books, but one came out yesterday you might want to flip through because you're the main character and it doesn't have a happy ending. It's called the 9/11 Commission Report, and it was written by a bunch of guys you appointed. Now, you think that would make you look better, but it turns out it doesn't. Sorry, you just can't get a break, can you? Our guess is someone might bring this 9/11 report up at the Democratic Convention next week, but only for a few minutes or so. The good news for you, and there's a phrase you haven't heard lately, is America has a short attention span, way too short to plow through a heavy book like this, full of facts and figures that can define our country for at least a generation. Unlike the Star Report, there are no good parts in this one. There are no interns, no Boudreaux, no screwing of any kind, but plenty of screw-ups. mostly yours. We don't want to create undue concern over this because most of the copies will just wind up in libraries anyway, and you can continue to keep shutting those down. Remember, if America really liked to read, we would be talking to Al Gore right now. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security, Sarah in Manhattan. How are you?
Hey.
How are you guys?
Hey. Good.
You might have talked about it earlier in the show, but I wanted to, we are not safe and we are safer, the two, that the commission report gave us, the two headlines for both sides.
Well, I guess it's for both of these two sides of Bush.
I'm a war president. I want to be the peace president.
Yeah. Oh, that must be what it is. Well, and since Condi told us, last night on the NewsHour, which is what I saw, that, they've already done everything that the commission has recommended, so we're actually fine.
That's insane.
But are they magicians like John McLaughlin?
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's what you said.
That would, I mean, these people just think they can say things and it will magically, hypnotize people into thinking it's the truth somehow.
I quickly wanted to tell you guys, too, I met about 8 or 9 months ago two Afghani Sunni Muslims who had, like, a rug store who told me that their mullah had taught them that what history had been waiting for was someone as corrupt as Saddam Hussein.
Wow. To get everything started?
Yes, so that it would, and that they would cancel each other out. But
wow.
It was waiting for that to happen. This was, it was maybe longer ago than that, maybe during the run-up to the war.
Wow.
But I hadn't thought of it till today.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
that deep,
sir.
Weird.
So that thing about the Afghan rug merchants is true?
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Oh. It was on, the store is no longer there, but it was on Lenox Avenue, like just below 123rd or 124th Street.
I wonder if they got deported.
I don't know.
Wow. You know, that's an interesting question, Mark, because they're, you know.
Thanks for calling, Sarah.
Remember that they did do a thing across in major cities across the country wanting to do interviews with Islamic men, whether they were Afghani or Iraqi or Iranian or whatever. That actually did take place.
Yeah, and clearly what she's saying, I didn't see Condi talk about that, but, you know, a lot of this stuff hasn't been implemented. There are a lot of things that haven't been done. So little has really been done. You know, there's airport security. There's a whole list of things that this recommends, you know, that, you know, Congress get on and get started implementing this stuff. And yet George Bush is going to mull it over. And I hope that mulling, let him act like he doesn't know what's going on or that he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't have a plan. You know, and hopefully John Kerry, which I think he will, and we'll see it next week, is going to have some, you know, profound suggestions. I believe next week, too, I'm going to bring in the Democratic Party platform so we can pick through that a little bit. Would that be all right?
Yeah. Maybe we need to call Commissioner Benvenisti back and tell him, look, Condoleezza says everything's taken care of.
Yeah, I wish I'd
seen
that.
I don't understand. How ridiculous.
Well, how ridiculous is it that Dick Cheney still says that there was a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda? The thing is these people think that people are that stupid. You get a core group of hypnotized morons who believe what you tell them because they don't take the time to do the research. I barely have time. I understand it takes a lot of time, but you might want to inform yourself before you're walking around spitting out what Rush Limbaugh says. It's amazing how many people who are conservatives, quote-unquote. First of all, George Bush doesn't even represent what Republicanism was really about, or fiscal conservatives. He's this whole new breed of weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. He's like an emperor. You know, but these guys who come at you, it's like, you know, I'm going to argue with you. And they just do these talking points, these rush bots, these ditto heads. Or, ugh, ugh, ugh.
Don't remind me.
Did I just do three uhs?
Yes.
That's a Jim Norton thing. Yeah, and also someone said that Larry David said the self-loathing comment. I said, I had no idea, but now I know I won't. I don't want to hack Larry David, but thanks for the blog. Not that I'm being a blog bitch. All right, Noah in New Jersey, good name.
Hey, guys, I got a couple of things to say. First of all, put Bob Novak in jail. What are we waiting for?
Absolutely.
Why is he in jail?
Or at least his teeth.
You know what? If Sandy Berger's guilty, let him share a jail cell with Bob Novak. Let him share a jail cell with Ali North. Put the two guys that gave away Joe Wilson's wife's thing. Put them all in a jail cell. Let them have a basketball.
Hey, Noah, are you pitching a show for Fox?
Another thing, I do a lot of work, a little bit of work for the Kerry campaign out of New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
I go to the Kerry meetups, print up flyers, you know, simple stuff.
Yeah.
And last night, I brought up at the meeting, we had the meeting last night, take a look at John Kerry's website. They both have all the ads on the website.
For a minute there, I thought you just vaporized.
Yeah, really?
Because it's a weird time.
That happened to me before.
So you're checking the website, the John Kerry website, and what's the other one?
If you check the John Kerry website, you'll notice that all the ads from April have all been positive, not one negative ad since April. If you look at the Bush website, there's not one positive ad on the title page.
Yeah, that's because they're petty and they got nothing.
Yeah, really.
Thanks a lot for your call, Noah. Appreciate it. John, how are you in Maine? Wow, how's Maine?
Hey, John.
Listen, you guys are the only radio station I listen to anymore.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
And I'm retired military.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say something. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think my battery's getting low here. I'm retired military, and the only thing that Bush did that made any sense at all on 9/11 was fly to 8th Air Force headquarters at Barksdale and then from there to SAC headquarters.
Yeah.
But other than that, he didn't do anything else that made any sense at all.
Nothing.
I'm just concerned about your credibility. I really, really want to see this network succeed because we desperately need this in the United States.
Yeah.
And it's just that those are the only two things that happened that day that made any sense. Didn't make any sense for him to fly back to Washington.
Because it wasn't safe?
Well, according to the 9/11 report, I read the first part of the first chapter last night.
Yeah.
And I guess Cheney was in some sort of a tunnel, and they thought American 11 was heading south to Washington, all this other stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I think that the only thing that they did right was fly to 8th Air Force headquarters and then the SAC headquarters. Now, I don't know. The names may have changed. I've been retired for 18 years.
Right. Well, so that's the only thing. Everything else they dropped the ball on.
Nothing made any sense. Why
absolutely.
Would you sit there and read a stupid book?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're under attack.
Absolutely. He should have taken action. Yeah, who cares if he would have thought the kids would think differently? Hey, if a couple of second graders cry because you got to go to work, what? They're used to that. Their dad does it all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
My dad did. Hey, I'm sorry. I just had a moment. I was letting a little out. We got the dog of the week coming up. We got the liberal agenda coming up. So stay here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Serious. You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
As the American military gets smaller, who will be there to protect us? Who will be there to help us recover from disasters? Who will be there to put their lives on the line for ours? With the support of their employers, the National Guard and Reserve will be there when we need them. They make up half of our American military forces. And with the combat readiness training they receive throughout the year, the men and women of the Guard and Reserve will be prepared to support peacekeeping missions, as well as humanitarian relief efforts and rescue operations. As soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they'll be in a position to serve our country. As their employer, so will you. For more information on how you as an employer can help, contact your state committee via their website at esgr.org. That's esgr.org. A public service message brought to you by the employer support of the Guard and Reserve and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes.
So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write LISTENING, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
Here we go. Let's land this thing, right?
Yeah.
What a week it's been. I'd say every show was good all week except for 1 hour from 6 to 7 on one of the days. I'm not even going to mention which. Look, I just mentioned that thing about the Kentucky GOP and the bumper sticker. Go to morningsedition.com and you can get that information. Right now, next week is the convention. We'll tell you a little bit about that after Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
That's right. We here at Morning Sedition aren't supposed to take things personally, no matter what Mark Maron says. But this week's dog dissed us by first agreeing to and then canceling an appearance on our show.
Yeah.
Normally, even this wouldn't make us mad, but then this guy proceeds to make a series of bizarre statements that clinched his designation of Dog of the Week. 9/11 Commissioner John Lehman is upset about former counterterrorism boss Richard Clark, his book, and his testimony before the 9/11 Commission. That is certainly his right. But quoting here, we were mugged by Viacom? Lehman says Clark's appearance on the CBS program 60 Minutes was no accident. He says Viacom's ownership of both CBS and Clark's book publisher makes him smell a rat. Gee, did he smell a rat in the Sandy Berger investigation? Does he really think somebody at Viacom or the Kerry campaign reprogrammed Richard Clark to become a partisan? And then, to top things off, he says there was a jihad against President Bush led by Clark and Viacom.
Hmm.
Could it be he canceled with us because he didn't want to have to explain his statements to a bunch of liberals? Whatever. If John Lehman thinks the 9/11 Commission was mugged, he should call a cop. But then, how could law enforcement take seriously the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week?
Hey. Yeah.
Ah, that's it.
Who let the cats out?
I don't know. Down, boy, down.
Next week, while the entire rest of the network is going to be up at the Democratic National Convention, a lot of them don't even know we're here because we're in and out before they even get into work.
That's right.
Yeah, they're going to be up there, but we are going to be holding fast here. And it's going to be nice because we're going to have the run of the office. It's going to be great. We can go. Franken's got all this stuff that his people use, like all these TVs and research equipment and all this really fancy stuff. Because, you know, when I tell people what I do for a living, they go, oh, you're on the Al Franken network. So we're going to take full advantage.
We're going to play soccer in his office while he's gone.
That's, you know how some people who don't like the restaurant jobs and they spit on hot dogs and stuff?
Well,
They're going to be wondering what that weird stuff. Anyways, little of that's going to go on. We're going to party all day long. We're going to and we got great guests. We got Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones. Tubbs-Jones is going to be here. Congresswoman Corrine Brown, who we had last
week. Our good friend.
I don't think she'll be in the tub this time.
No.
She did an interview with us from the bathtub. It was great. Congressman Barney Frank, who was also a great guest because he will be able to talk about just about everything and be funny and informative. I like him. We're going to have a former Kerry speechwriter. But most importantly, in the studio, Joan Jett is going to come.
Now, let me tell you something.
She's in Boston?
Oh, she's in Boston, too?
Oh, man.
Is she the entertainment at one of the parties?
She's covering the convention for Air America. Boy, well, there you go.
She's covering the convention for Air America.
See, I thought that she was going to come in. I was going to get to talk to her, maybe have her sign one of my old records.
Wow. And she's going to be in Boston instead.
I'm not upset, because we're going to have our own convention right here.
That's right.
The problem is that if we would have went up there, think about it, 6 to 9, we're going to get, hungover Democratic, important people.
We'd have to get the drunks walking through the lobby of the hotel we
know that Barbara Streisand is not going to talk to us. Oh, but
you
she
sure?
will. She will fax us. She doesn't want to, admit that this comes directly from her people. Here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Write it down. 1. Call Marvel for comic book adaptation of 9/11 Commission Report because children are our future. 2. Talk to Moby about punching up Kerry's acceptance speech with light show, glow sticks, and pacifiers. 3, have Ron Reagan Jr. recreate his speech in modern dance on Boston Common with the cast of Rent. I think that'd be nice. 4, remind people it's not Catwoman, it's Feline American. Excuse me. 5, today's phrase is drop it into conversation, quote, Hillary Nader, 2008, we can't lose, unquote. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Absolutely. Coming up on Monday's morning's edition, at last the Democratic National Convention is here. John Kerry will take the mantle as the last best hope to free us, to save us from George W. Bush. Our week of special coverage kicks off with Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones previewing her speech. That's Monday's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Bye, Riley.